This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them. If you don't, try MTGO Academy for all your digital needs.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you train-loving motherfuckers? Or wait, I don't know if you guys are all that into the train, are you? Anyway, no. I'm Kevin Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And we're missing a ferret. And you're listening to Heavy Meta, sweetheart.
Yeah! Well, we're not, this week, ferret, we're not missing a ferret. He has apparently ferret manly duties that he needs to take care of, so he's doing that. And he's quite proud.
So did he just leave? Or is he planning on leaving in a little bit?
Did he just leave? I'll have to say that last.
Did he leave episode, to go? Did he leave to go do his manly duties? Because that sounds like a redundancy to me.
I will say this: anyone that was in GP Montreal, leave has now completely fucked up everyone's vocabulary because that one word. If anyone who wasn't in on the joke was just like giving us stares of like, why is that funny?
Yeah, you have no fucking idea.
Why was that funny when you just told the guy to go leave in the bathroom? I don't understand. That was funny. Like, but those who do know are cracking their asses up. So this week, folks, we are talking a bit of GP Montreal recap. And I mean, you know, we dug deep. We looked around, and there was really only one person who was left, and that person is... I believe made up of 90% alcohol. I'm pretty sure. And that man is Slick Jagger. Say hello, sir.
What up, dudes?
He's fucking 90% alcohol and 10% Kevy Metal. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yo, I got back and all I could think about was salad and good beer because I literally ate two vegetables in Canada.
Oh yeah, can I just say this for all those people that believe Atkins is a good diet? There's no way you can survive eating meat, smoked meat or bacon for every meal and drinking. That's
bullshit.
Literally.
I'm still here.
Well, then you are a mutant and your power is bacon absorption because I literally.
I think it's more the vodka absorption.
Yeah, it might be. I think the vodka counteracts. But literally, like, when I got home, I'm like, I just want to shove green tea up my ass and just drink fucking water. I don't want to eat anything. I need to detox for a week. Oh my God, it is the town of decadence, I'll say that. Their smoked meat is absurdly insane, and I could eat it every day forever, but I'd probably die of a coronary heart attack within 2 months.
Yeah, it's likely.
Or Slick would kill me, because he'd drink me to death. Almost.
Yeah, you're lucky that you got away easy.
Yeah, Schofield didn't.
No, Schofield didn't, and Joe didn't.
Oh yeah, a few people didn't. Let's just say this: if you don't know your limits, do not go out with Slick Jagger. That's because the line of your limits is blurred really quickly. Let's just say that.
Like, you have to realize that we developed a concept in Montreal that actually Kevy alluded to doing this on a previous episode, but didn't have the phrase for. The phrase is task drinking. You have to task drink to get drunk, and then you can have a fun drink when you're already wasted.
Yeah, that actually
it's a formula we worked off of, like me, Martin, Motika, and Tony, like that was our mantra. Task drinking.
Yeah, you guys literally, I would be like, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're pre-drinking for the drinking. I'm like, what? I don't understand. Why would you pre-drink to get drunk? They're like, oh no, this is just to get you primed. You have to do this first before you're ready to go a good time. I gotta say, man, I can drink a bit here and there, but you guys, I literally am not on the pro tour of drinking. I've been kicked off, man. There are some new young bloods that I cannot compete with on that level now. You guys took it to a whole new level.
It's all about pacing yourself.
Oh, no. These guys, Kevy, these guys, you know what they are? They are the Toyota that has the accelerator problem. That's what those guys are. They're just going into the brick wall at full speed, man.
Oh, dude, I ran through it, man.
Oh,
well, no, it's, yeah.
Of all the people, I will say this. Of all the people that I watched just go to the limit and then, like, just go over the limit, I literally, if I had money, if I was a betting man, I would have bet that Slick Jagger wouldn't have held it. And he did. I literally was like, I don't know how the man is walking. I don't know how he did it. I literally don't know how he wasn't in a hospital bed.
It's about moderation. And, yeah. And when I say moderation,
there's no moderation. Yourself,
it's not moderating like, oh man, you know, I'm getting too drunk. I got to fucking lay off a little bit. You know, I got to drink some water for a little while and feel a little bit better. And then maybe drinking a little bit more later. No, that's fucking sissy work. No, it's about when you start feeling yourself really fucked up and you're like, oh, I might be heading for bed pretty soon. You just got to switch things up. That's when you start drinking like Rockstar and vodka or Red Bull and vodka and like wake yourself back up. And then your second wind comes along, and then you keep drinking, and then you keep going, and then you kind of do it in stages back and forth like that. You take a bunch of shots, you have a fucking blast, but when you start to feel yourself kind of tipping over a little bit, you gotta switch gears, have a couple beers, and then maybe fucking, you know, a fucking Rockstar and vodka, something like that. Cause see, I've had plenty of weekends where I can run all weekend long, constant, no fucking problem.
Oh my god.
I've had weekends where I fire myself off too fucking early. I leave too early, so to speak. Like Vegas, when I was like fucking, you know, fucking hammered drunk, had a blast, woke up, had to go to the GP the next day, felt like shit. And that's the other problem. You don't stop drinking. When you wake up the next morning, you don't go, oh, I feel like crap. I gotta get some rest and so you get some food in me. Yeah, you gotta get some food in you, but you gotta keep drinking. Cause otherwise,
you're gonna shoot the GP
and be like, oh man, I feel like garbage. I just wanna go take a nap. And then that is gonna take over in your brain. You're gonna be like, oh, sleep sounds so good. I'm just gonna eat and take a nap. No.
Yeah, that's drinking. Okay. Well, then basically if there is levels of pro drinking, I am the amateur. Like, cause that's exactly what I did. I was like, I hit a wall and I'm like, you know what sounds great about now? Some fucking grease and water and fucking my bed.
Grease and water and take a fucking nap and that'll end the best of us.
Yeah, I never thought that you switch liquors. I thought that would just kill you faster. So you're opening my eyes. Yeah, you're opening my eyes.
Well, it doesn't exactly feel great the next day, but it does make you last longer.
That's true.
Well, see, that's the thing. If the next day you wake up and you have fucking a mimosa or you just have another cocktail, it really quickly just turns into like, oh, it's like the night before all over again, and you keep going.
Yeah, dude. You just buy a shitty beer, splash orange juice in it. You know,
oh, my day. God. So let's
the morning of the event, that's why I went downhill is because I was like, okay, I'm at this event. I don't want to get fucking hammered. I'm just going to keep myself up on Rockstars. That didn't work at all. It just made me feel like shit. If there was booze in them, or a lot more booze than I was spiking them with, then I would have been fine. Because we all know that Maddie accidentally got in trouble for one of my
drinks. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I was trying to be very, you know, discreet, so I wasn't getting fucking hammered, and that was the problem.
Yeah, you know what, though? That was the discreetness was something that we did not plan on for our train. And I guess I'll recount our tales beginning there. As you all know, we tweeted for many months about this GP drunk train that was going to be epic and it would be awesome. And, you know, the whole point of the drunk train was that we saw a photo of what a train looks like and it had these, you know, four seats and a table. And it's like, oh, that's exactly what we want. It's basically there. And then we get on the train and we realize it's like an economy JetBlue flight and there's just one set of four chairs. And we were pretty pissed off, and a couple of people fought to get those chairs that we see, but then everybody else was just fucking shit out of luck. They were done for, and you're on your own, man. But the worst of all that we, you know, I guess we didn't prepare correctly for this, but Motika and Slick had brewed up some incredible beer, the Brainstorm Brewery Brew, which I tried and was pretty good. It was a decent beer. But we decided to walk up to the train station with, you know, two giant boxes clinketing and clink, 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 you know, and we go to get on the train and the guy's like, hey, hold on a minute. What's in the box? And Motika's like, beer. And he's like, yeah, you know, you can't drink that on the train. He's like, oh no, we're not going to drink this on the train at all. He's like, yeah, I don't trust you, but they put it in the fridge. So they confiscated all our beer.
Motika will not lie. Like, no. He's a cool ass dude and he's down to do anything. But when it comes down, like, he just won't lie.
No,
he like, it's a weird personality trait of him to me. Like, even on the smallest things, like, he just won't lie.
No, he's an awesome. He is one of my best friends. I love that guy. He's just the straightest shooter ever. Even when he's like, you know, it's going to be bad for everyone. He's like, yeah, there's beer in there. our plan was to get drunk and you caught us. But anyways, the best thing about
can you imagine how fast that would have gotten kiboshed if we even opened all those beers on the train?
Well, okay, so here's the thing.
I got yelled at in French within like 15 minutes.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. The thing is, when we were getting on the train, we had the guy had one glass eye and one real eye, who was the guy taking tickets, and he was just like this. You got a ticket? And I'm like, yeah, it's on my iPad. He's like, nah, fuck it. I'm like, oh, I'm like, okay. And he's just like,
at least that wasn't the dude driving the train.
Well,
I don't give a shit attitude.
Well, honestly, that's what I thought, right? I'm like, this is going to be the best train ever. And then the Nazi guy, literally, as soon as we get on the train, he was Mr. Frickin' Security, and he knew. He's like, I see all you guys wearing those fucking, like, hoodies and shit. I know there's trouble brewing, you know. He just was like, hawked in on us, right? But Motika puts all the beer in the fridge, right? And then about an hour into the train ride, or not even, I think it was like 10 minutes, he stands up with his long overcoat on, like Inspector Gadget, and just starts walking up the aisle towards, like, the people, and he just reaches in and pulls out a beer with two fingers and hands it to one person, then reaches his jacket and pulls out a beer to another person, and then literally Mr. Security was like, beep, 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 the radar, and he just like, you open that beer and you're off the fucking train. Okay. And you know, it was like literally reminded me of high school, or like grade school, you know, as a teacher, like, who got the beer? Who's got the beer? Give me the beer. And he stole our beers, and he's like, if I smell one alcohol, off the train. You know, like a fucking Nazi to us. We're like, oh, man, what a downer. So
everybody's just like, cool, now we're stuck on the sober train.
It was a bit of a downer. The sad thing is I'm sitting there next to this guy that I have I don't know who this is, right? And, you know, so Luke Jagger's like, well, I guess we're moto drafting on 56K dial-up now. You know, like they're trying to make the most of this. And the guy next to me, he's like, oh, here. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a bottle of Coke. And I'm like, that's okay, I don't drink Coke. He's like, no, you're going to want to have a sip of this. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, nah, I don't know. He's like, no, there's literally no Coke in this. It's 95% fucking rum, and you're going to want some. And I'm like, oh, my God. He's like a huge fan of the show. He goes, I can't believe you guys went amateur hour like that and brought beers. Don't you know how to conceal liquor? And I was like, felt so bad. I'm like, yeah, we fucking just bombed, dude.
I felt so fucking stupid. I felt so fucking dumb when these random, they were fucking cool as shit.
Yeah.
And they just like pull out the Coke bottle and they're like, are you guys all retarded?
Yeah. And not only did they have Coke and rum, but they had different mixes. They're like, hey, you want to try some iced tea and vodka? Or we got this brew. And like, they were prepared. Like, and I'm like, did you know about Drunk Train? They're like, no. I'm like, you didn't even know. And you're just that prepared. I'm like, well, you guys schooled us, man. So at least me and Slick got a couple of sips in. We were rolling there for a while. We were doing good.
I took, he handed me one.
Yeah, take a sip, Slick. He drinks half the bottle.
Whisperly, like, introduced myself. Yeah, he gives me a sip, and he's like, I was like, all right, and I take it. Well, no, Maddie and he were talking about how strong it was, and I was like, all right, whatever, and I like drank like a third of it, and I handed it back, and I felt kind of like a dick, and then Maddie was like, you got more of this? And he pulled out like three more, and I was like, how fucking smart are these dudes? They're so smart.
Yeah, and it was
feel so stupid.
Oh man, it was really epic. And then, I mean, the train ride was long. In the end of the day, we all agreed that, you know, drunk train is probably impossible. It's like, I just don't see it happening. So next time we do this, we're doing drunk boat.
Yeah, get on a boat.
Yeah, because you can't fuck a boat up. Like, there is a bar on the boat. I don't see how we lose.
If I was on a boat with Frankie Richards, I would leave all over that place.
Listen, you know how they say you swab the deck? That's how dirty it would be. it would be gross.
Mad at my fucking kid for being born when he was and not being able to go to that.
The birthday kid comes out and Kevin's like, God damn it, I hate you. Why were you born on this fucking day? No, the truth is we roll into Montreal and we were just like, we're like, thank God we're off the train. And then we were all talking about doing the dinner. And then where the hell did we end up going? Oh, that's right. So we're starving, right? And we meet up with Martin, who is, if you don't check out his stream, check it out. The guy's like literally one of the best people on the planet Earth.
And that guy is a badass fucking drummer too.
His stream is twitch.tv/me in a canoe. No spaces.
Me in a canoe. That's awesome.
Cause that's weird.
Cause that's who he literally is the coolest person I've ever met. He is just the best hospitality I've ever seen. He just, 24 hours a day, he was like with us. He literally
He's a lawyer and he spoke French. Like, he saved my life multiple times.
Exactly. Like, as soon as we got in, I was like, okay, Martin, I'm assigning you to Slick Jagger to keep him alive. And he did a great job. Like, he was there to make sure Slick didn't walk into traffic or get in a fight with a Frenchman over a poutine. It was really good. It was amazing. And we hit up this bar. Had some good food, and then we all realized very quickly that there's something a bit bizarre about French people, especially from Quebec. They have a different unit of measurement. Funny enough, since we're all Canadian, we use the same measurement tools, but they have a different idea of how far things are.
Not only are you guys weird because you use fucking the metric system and kilometers and shit, but then Quebec's got their own shit too.
Yeah, no, I swear to God, him, Martin, Frankie, believe, like, when you say, hey, what's the closest burger bar? They're like, oh, it's right over there. And we're like, great, right over there. What does that mean to you? A couple of steps away? And he's like, no, it's a block away. Okay, a block. A block takes a couple minutes to walk. No. To French people, a block is, as Scotty Mac, I believe he calculated a distance, 17 kilometers. So we were walking through slush and snow for like a good half an hour to get to this place that we're like, freezing our ass off. Thank God for the heavy meta hoodies, because they paid off with the warmth, and then we all got A-team hoodies, or hats, or toques, or whatever the fuck you want to call them. And they were awesome. They were very, very warm, kept their heads warm. It was a little colder than we thought, but it just insane.
At least we got the fucking mana-deprived merch fucking keeping people warm. Gotta love it.
Oh, yeah. We were merched out to the tits, man. It was insane. Now, Slick, you ended up disappearing for a while, and then you ended up at Le Petit Cochon later evening, eating a pig and a lobster or something?
No, so that was when we were talking to BDM. He told us the pig and the lobster story.
Oh, that's right.
We had, from what I remember, because I drank two bottles of wine, they were $80 bottles of wine, too. It was worth it.
Because that's how he rolls.
Hell yeah. Is.
I had a credo the whole weekend. I'm going to spend $80 and above on a meal, or I'm going to eat poutine. And I stuck to it until my last day in Toronto. So it was like 5 days of straight either like balling ass meals or just fries and gravy.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, like Couchon was amazing. Like, we had foie gras poutine, which was just like the most decadent shit, like the most rich, decadent food. And then we had a pig's face.
Yeah, literally Marcel a pig's head.
Yeah, Marcel and I and Motika were like just ravaged. Like, I know that the best part on a pig's face is the cheek. And I was like, yo, I'm going in. Like, as soon as they put it down, I was like, give me that cheek, though.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was nuts. And then the next day, we ended up playing in the event. Some of us did.
Oh, there is an event?
Wait, yeah, I didn't play in the event.
well, a few of us did. Me and Marcel and Durf and a few others, we basically bailed on the main event because we were like, fuck, it just looks too packed. And we jumped right into side events. And the worst thing in the world is, like, you wake up, you get in there, and it's like side events start 10 o'clock. All right, 10 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock now. I'm like, great. That's great. You know, you figure side event's going to last 2 hours, and then we're done. You know, get a little magic in while we're here. It's sweet. We didn't start playing this fucking side event till 2 p.m. Oh, just God. Delay. It was so bad. I mean, overall, it was a good tournament, judged well, but for some reason, they just didn't give a fuck about side events. And there were like 300 people waiting to play side events. It was crazy, right?
So they have one printer. They have one printer.
Oh yeah,
they're gonna run the biggest fucking Canadian GP. I mean, it was a blast and the event was cool, but you can't run an event with over 1,000 people on one printer.
One printer.
Yeah, yeah, and funny enough, just before we walked into the hall, me, Scotty Mack, and Andrew Margie, he's an amazing guy, also. We literally sat down and we figured out in 10 minutes, had a quick brainstorm session about how we could just literally create an app and fix, you know, tournament magic completely so that you literally just walk into an event, the RFI tag reader reads that you're here, it auto-logs you in, you know, and we're like, you know, we're all in the business, and we're like, how much is this going to cost? Ah, a coder for this? Ah, 250 grand? We could probably make this and sell this for money? It was insane. We were fixing things. So anyone at Magic or Wizards, it, just for the Christ's sakes, man, just pay the couple hundred bucks, fly us all out there for just a day, and just listen to what we have to say. If free, like, we don't want a dime, because there's so many things you could do to improve how Paper Magic is run. It's absurd.
I can tell you how this is going to go down right now. They're going to fly you out to fucking Seattle. They're going to sit down, listen to you for a day, be like, that is fucking awesome. There's such a great idea. We're all into it. We love it. Now, tell our judges and our fucking WotC employees how to do it, and we'll fly you guys back, and then we'll go ahead and we'll do it in-house.
Yeah,
well, and then you're going to have the WotC
employees. And then 5 years later, it'll get released, and it'll break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, yeah. Wait, the best part, the best story of the whole event was I literally am promoting MTGO. Like, to everyone I talk to, I'm like, I don't play paper a lot, you know. And you know, like, I was making jokes like, hey, man, look, we're waiting 4 hours. Like, I can be in a modern daily in like 10 seconds. And then I'm not aware of this, right? I don't have my phone with me. Moto's down.
Moto's down.
not only is Moto down, the entire Wizards website is down. Like, someone blew their server up, and for two days.
So the whole thing that was like within a week of my fucking ass showing up on their website, whole thing goes down.
So I'm telling them how amazing it is, and people are just looking at me, shaking their head, because I don't know what's going on. Like, you do know that everything's down.
It was so awesome, bro. You don't even fucking know. We wouldn't be sitting here right now waiting to fucking play Magic, just fucking foot in mouth.
Yeah, we'd be at home just masturbating right now because the internet doesn't work. Like, I literally was.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's still the plus about Moto. It's like you go to log on to Moto. Oh, shit, all of WotC's down. Oh, cool, porn. Like, at the while you're sitting there waiting to play a side event, you can't just fucking leave all over the fucking tables because you're going to get arrested.
you can put your dick in a sleeve and it's all good, right? I mean, the pro shields, I hear, work the best. But, yeah, we
it's
all...
So that it's obscured, so that it's out like Japanese porn.
Yeah, we all went in these winner boxes or whatever they were. I ended up winning 4 packs or something because the prize support was like just literally waited for the person who wins. They get a box and then everyone else gets like 4 packs or something, or like a pack or something stupid. And I didn't realize that they paid us out in French packs. And so Anthony Awesome Sauce on Twitter, he comes up to me, he's like, hey man, you do know that those are French packs. I'm like, ah, French packs? What? Like, not only did I take 4 hours to get started, You pay me in French garbage packs. And I'm like, how do I get rid of these things, man? What a disappointment. So, like, Magic for me at that point, I was just like, man, this sucks. Like, what are we doing tonight? Where, what poutine are we eating? Where are we going? You know, this is what I was interested in, right? And so basically I'm just like, whatever. So Sunday rolls around. And I'm like, okay, I want to sell, because I brought my fetch lands, right? And I was just like contemplating back and forth. You hear me talk about it. I'm like, I got to sell these fucking cards. Like, I really thought fetch lands at $95 are stupid, right? Oh, so I go in there on day one. I asked around casually. They're like, $70. They're buying Scalding and Mystic for us. I'm like, all right, that's interesting. Day two, I'm like, what are you buying? They're like, $80. I'm like, oh, it went up $10? Awesome. So I'm like, Sunday? Let's see what I can get. $90. I'm like, you're buying for 90.
Buying at 90.
So I literally go looking first. Insane. Yeah, I wake up early, go right in before the crowd gets in there. And I go around to the booth, and I see this booth in the corner, and they're from Detroit, I think. I can't remember the name of the booth, right? And they're like, we're really, you know, trying to buy because no one's selling to us. Everyone's selling to Face, right? Because Face has got the best prices. So I'm like, okay, well, I go, what would you give me for these fetch lands, right? And they're like, holy shit, they're gem mint. I'm like, yeah, they've never been played. I don't play paper, right? I literally bought them and I put them in sleeves and I never had a chance to really play them. And he's like, I'll give you 90 for them. I'm like, nah, you know what? I want more than that. He's like, okay, 95. So I got 95 for Misty and Tarns, and I talk the guy up for the rest of the lands up from 40 to $48. So I literally got handed $1,000 in cash for 13 cards.
Magic layer.
now this is the thing that hurt me the most is they literally put a price before they're even putting all the money in my hand, the guy's pricing the cards at 120.
Yep.
And putting them in the case. 120. So gem mint fetches of Scaldings I saw in a case sitting for 120. Are they at 120 right now? I have no idea, but literally at the GP, I was blown away that we watched the price boards just go up $5 every day on everything.
It's fucking insane.
I was telling
you about last night, and I was like looking at it. I had a Twitter conversation, about with a bunch of people about it today too. Cause like fucking, you know, that's one thing. Okay. Scalding Tarns. There's no other fucking Scalding Tarns. There's just those fucking ones, those Zendikar ones. Mm. But like the fucking, my promo fucking, or the promo, textless lightning bolts. It's fucking lightning bolt. They're fucking 20 cents for a fucking M10. It's one fucking card. But yeah, those fucking jumped up, and now of course those are the beautiful fucking lightning bolts. But
they are beautiful.
I got one for Daniel got me one for $23, $25, something like that, at Christmas, and they're at fucking like they're at TCG average at like $53 now. It's across crazy, the board, everybody like the at TCG's lowest was like $44 something for a moderately played one, which probably looks like haggard ass. And it's fucking like seriously, and it's for a fucking lightning bolt. I mean, they're pretty ass lightning bolts, but then I started looking further into it because I want to start a fucking lightning bolt collection, and started looking further into it, and the fucking judge promos are fucking out of hand. The judge promos, I couldn't find them anywhere. The only place I found them was on TCG Player. There weren't any last night, and then this morning a store had two or four of them. One store had two or four of them for $275 a piece, and fucking for a lightning bolt.
Now
it's,
you know,
like,
what?
Jesus Christ, man! Magic players are getting stupid.
Yeah, they are. But in all honesty, I spoke to many people because I was asking people their opinion of my fetch lands. Like, do I sell them? Mm-hmm. Do I not? And one guy gave me a very insightful opinion. He said, "You do realize Magic cards are the new gold." So a couple of years ago, gold was $400. Now, and it went almost up to $2,000 an ounce. And he's like, right now, people are just getting into Magic cards because you can put $1,000 into Magic cards, you can wait 2 months, you can cash out at $1,500. And in Modern right now, all the money's going into Modern. So much money is going to Modern, it's scary. It really is scary. And we're dealing with a very hot property right now, and You know, I heard a lot of conversation about reprints, a lot of people giving me their theories about, oh, we're going to get reprints in M15 and all this. And I'm telling you guys, I hope you're right. I really do. I hope that M15 comes about and bam, we're going to have Onslaught fetch lands, you know, or maybe the fall set. I really do. But something tells me that Wizards of the Coast is not intelligent and they don't care or they don't know. And or they don't predict, or they can't react fast enough. It's a combination of everything that we've seen, and just look at like Shocklands. It took 2 years,
I had a great idea today.
All right,
I had a great idea today, and that's that we all need to revolt, and so we just need to get everybody. It only works if everybody does it, but we all have to show up to a GP, and everybody has to have proxies in their decks of these fucking of like the fetch lands and shit. And so they have to just DQ the entire fucking GP.
The event, yeah.
the entire event. Everybody in the event has to get DQ'd. Now, there's going to be just one asshole that's just like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then he's going to show up with his actual deck. And he's going to be the only one left.
And he's going to win.
So he's going to win. Yeah. But.
No, we could just pick someone to win a GP.
Yeah, then we all. It's like a revolt. Yeah, no shit. We pick one guy to win a GP.
And then we have a friend that wants to get on a pro tour, and we just threaten everyone else not to show up.
Yeah, everybody doesn't show up, and then everybody that does want to, so it doesn't look fucking rigged, then we just all, well, it's still going to look rigged. We all show up with proxies in our decks, and they have to DQ the whole fucking tournament, and then maybe they'll go, oh, we should probably reprint these things.
Yeah, you know what, though?
They're trying to tell us something.
I'll tell you right now, it's evident. I mean, if you're in Wizards and you don't understand that we need reprints, then you literally are an arrogant piece of shit, or you're just brain dead, because... Just it's called Twitter. Just look on it every day.
Yeah, no shit.
Come on.
I gotta share something with you that is totally unrelated, complete curveball, but it happened in Montreal, so it's kind of relevant.
Oh man, I love it.
I was talking to Bruce Lee, okay?
Oh shit, okay.
Because he met up with us the last day in Toronto. He didn't go to the GP, but he was out to eat with us when we went to that shitty sports bar.
Yeah, it was balls. The chicks were hot and annoying.
Yeah, they were really hot and really annoying.
Yeah.
And they lost their appeal when they didn't speak French.
Yeah, or basically give us a drink of water. That was also really shitty. So anyways, go on. What did Bruce say?
So Bruce Lee gave me the best. So you know the Khans of Trocaïr and the Dragons of Trocaïr thing?
Yes.
So he said that if it's a Magic trademark, he believes that it's the next block after M15.
Yep, and that's the new fall set.
It's centered around Sarkhan Vol.
Yeah, I told him that, dude. That was dude, do you listen to Heavy Meta 2 weeks ago? That's what I said. Exactly those words.
Said?
Yes. $100. I'll go cut this in right now. Edit here, Maddie.
I can't wait until there's just a blank space right there.
Until he just edits that out.
He just edits that out. It's a lot easier.
I need that cool Kyle rewind sound. that would be cool. I would love to see Sarkhan Vol, but...
Like Dragons of Trocaïr.
And Barbarians and shit. Mongolians.
But Sarkhan Vol's like lore is that like his home... He was like he was all about dragons, and his home was about dragons, and then all the dragons were dead, and that's why he went to Jund, because there were fucking dragons everywhere. So Sarkhan Vol is obviously a badass. He's just trying to hang out with dragons. So
just hanging out with dragons.
Yeah, just hanging out with dragons.
I think we had a question on the show a long time ago, or well, not a long time ago, but a while back that was something about if you could pick some sort of fucking character. Or non-humanoid character in Magic to bang, which would it be? And that was my first thought as dragons. I think that was my answer.
That was fucking hilarious. It was dragons, yeah.
Why the fuck not?
That was creeping.
Wow. I mean, you know, it's... Dude, the whole Fetchland debate and reprint debate is kind of moot. And a few people kind of came to the same realization that... You know, if we get it, we get it. If we don't, then, you know, it's $150 fetch lines. We'll deal with it. Like, it is what it is, and it really isn't anything we can do about it. There's no – if the amount of pressure that we apply isn't enough, then I don't know what is, man. Like,
we could always just leave.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe we need to try the – well, I think we have tried the first rule of the universe, and it didn't work. We can't try the second because Worth won't bend over. And, I mean, the third one is just our last option, man. Just leave. We're just done. But, yeah, so I'll continue on with our modern – Montreal stories.
Yeah, I was going to say, we still got plenty of Montreal left, I hope.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, the best part of Montreal was Sunday. So I'd sold my fetch lands. I was feeling super awesome, man, with $1,000 in my pocket. And I had no plans on playing on Sunday, but I was like, oh man, fuck, gotta play. Like, I feel hyped now. So Marcel, stumbles in. And he literally is like, I don't want to play today, dude. I'm just gonna sit here. And I'm like, no, Marcel, let's get in there. It's 10 minutes to registration. Team sealed. We're doing this. And he's like, team sealed. And it took me maybe 5-6 minutes to convince him. I'm like, I think Team Steel's going to be fun. We should do this. And he's like, but we need a third. And we're like, the next person that walks in that door, we're just going to convince him. Well, Scotty Mac walked in that door. And he literally was like, fuck you guys. I could care less. I don't want to play any more fucking Magic. And me and Marcel just tag-teamed him, and we were just like, Scotty, how do we get you to play? And he's like, oh, if I'm going to play, the first rule is I get to complain. I'm like, done. What's the next one? He's like, second rule is I get to bitch at all my opponents. I'm like, yep, that's a given. We totally love that. He goes, third, I want to play the crappiest deck you got. I'm like, oh man, I like this. These are great rules, Scotty. We're going to do this. So begrudgingly, we sign up with a minute left to register with all intention, in all honesty, of just building a pool, playing a match, and scrubbing out. Like, it was just, there really was no intention.
Let's just jump in and do it. Yeah.
Yeah. There was no one ever said when we were building it, like, we're going to go all the way, or we're going to do this, or we're just like, oh man, this is going to be fun. So we get our pool. Because we had to register a pool with 4 Asphyxiate, right? Like, it was a really good pool, and then we're like, oh, we passed it. All right, so whatever. So we get the pool back, and then the judges say, oh, by the way, we're only giving you, like, literally 40 minutes to build your deck. That's not a long time to build 3 decks, man. We were freaking out, right? So I'm like, okay, let's do this. We sort all the cards, and we all worked really well as a team, man. We built our decks very quickly. We established very clearly there's a blue-white deck. And then I'm like, you know, we got Xenagod and Nylea, and I'm like, well, someone's playing Greed Red Smash because Stompies, that's Xenagod is just a win. I'm like, let's build a deck. So we just literally took all the green cards, all the red cards, threw them in a deck, took all the blue and white cards, threw them in a deck, and then trimmed them. Had our insane blue-white control, like not the control, but it was almost like a Voltron enchantment, build it up and just tap all the dudes and just get in there kind of deck. And Marcel had Stompy.
All the dudes.
Yeah. And then literally we just hand Scotty a big pile of cards. And he's like, what the fuck is this? He's like, this is stupid. There's no deck here. This is just a pile
Scotty's
of...
deck was insane. It was well, insane.
No, listen. This is how, and I straight up, Marcel and Scotty are two of the best Magic players I have ever played with. I think they are highly underrated. They're insanely good. And Scotty, just watching him build like 10 decks in like 10 minutes just to see if they looked good, I was blown away. And we're all trying to help him, and he's just like, I think this is the build. And he had a blue-black control build. And I'm like, you know what, man? We've got a couple of spare cards left over. I'm like, you splash green for Agent Horizons and that flash 3-1 flyer. And he's like, why? I'm like, because you need a win condition. You don't have a win condition in the deck, dude. There literally is nothing, right?
So, had a Crow and Horse and 3 divinations.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'll right? win the game, dude. Yeah.
Like, that's like 3 of Crow and Horses.
He actually did do some pretty crazy stuff. But yeah, Motika came by, and everyone knows Motika is like just – he's an amazing deck builder, right? And, of course, he can't help us. Right, but he literally just looking at us and the glint in his eye, you know, he's like, yeah, you should keep those. You definitely are going to want to play with those cards, right? So, we're like, okay. So, yeah, he did just the twinkle in his eye was like enough to know. He's like, yeah, you don't take those out. So anyways, we register our pool. We're like, all right, let's get in there. Let's do this. And Marcel asked me, he's like, Maddie, he's like, are you sure you want to play blue white? I'm like, you know what, man? And I was arrogant, and I'm like, yeah, I could totally crush with this, right? Like, I'm like, this doesn't look as complicated as I think it is, right? It's just blue-white, right? Well, the deck I was playing was probably the hardest deck to pilot of all three. It had a billion triggers in it that I wasn't looking at, and I was being cocky. And I should have honestly played fucking the green deck, because I would just fucking won every match. Like, that deck was right up my alley. And Marcel would probably have, like, done way better with my deck, although he didn't even drop a game with that one. So we get in, and we start battling opponents. And Marcel's like, well, I'm done. And I look over, and I'm like, I'm in game one. You're already done two games? He's like, yeah, I beat him. Xenagod, smash, smash, he gives up, right? So I'm playing in the first game. And I fucking punt the biggest thing ever, and it just literally ruined me. And I'm playing with Spirit of the Labyrinth because I'm like, I want to be aggressive early on and just get in there. And I put the blue ordeal on it, fully knowing that it's going to fuck up and counter itself. But I'm staring down a board where I'm dead in three turns, right, on the other side. And I'm like, I have no gas in my hand. I'm like, I gotta just start dealing damage. And I fully thought the guy's like, if I put this on the stupid labyrinth, he's gonna kill it. Like, he's not gonna let it kill him. But he didn't. He fucking was like, literally schooled me. And he just tapped it. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. And then I'm getting like pissed off that I'm gonna die. And I just rush into attacks. Trigger goes on the stack. And I'm not paying attention, and I just touch the top of my deck, grab two cards, and Scotty's like, you just drew two cards. Judge, and I'm like, shit. Oh, and I'm like, but I haven't looked at them. He's like, it doesn't matter. So Joe the judge comes over, and he's like, oh, Maddie, I got to give you a game loss. And I'm like, fuck, really? I'm like, all right. So I take a total punt like an idiot, and I was so upset, man. Even Marcel was just like, oh, man, Maddie just fucking stormed out of here. I was like, I was so pissed off at myself for doing that. Oh, I was fucking so pissed off. Like, it just totally threw me. And I've come to the epiphany that, you know, Magic paper, even though
it's so much harder than Modo because you don't have everything done for you.
I'll tell you. You know what's funny, though? This is the epiphany I came to. Playing in a game where you don't really care about, like, Winnebox 8-man, where you're not invested. Right, you're just like, all right, it's cool. It feels casual. When we were playing in that tournament, I was like, I didn't want to let anyone down. I am feeling pressure. Like there's literally 10 people around us watching us. Like we were the show. Right, everyone's like, the podcast guys, the podcast, like,
the podcast crew.
Yeah, they were like, Scotty's like, dude, there's like people coming up all the time. I got, you know, three matches going on that you're trying to like check and ask questions. It felt completely overwhelming. Like, so many triggers are happening, and I was missing a trigger here, a trigger there. And I've realized that paper is a level way above Modo for me. Like, I'm not there yet. And I literally was like, when does the Modo window pop up and tell me that a trigger needs my attention? You know, like literally it felt like that. I was like, oh, I missed a trigger?
That's what I was saying. You need to have, like, I know it's illegal as shit, but you just need to have a guy with a little paper sign that looks like the okay button sitting next to you the whole fucking time and just hold it up from time to time. Just like, oh, shit, Maddie, here's your okay button. And you click it, and it'll transition you in from Modo into paper.
Literally. I mean, yo.
Yo, did you guys hear somebody shivering?
No.
Because it sounded like somebody was still cold.
I ain't cold no more.
Oh, no.
Now he's back in California where it's nice and sunny.
Oh, man. It's my teammate fucking from the Seal, brother. Oh, damn, Marcel's here. This is interesting. Right on cue,
dude. We just
snuck
Marcel into the cave while we were telling the story about your Team Sealed match.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was just telling him, Marcel, in round one, this horrible freaking Spirit of the Labyrinth or Blue Ordeal punt I made. And I was – it was epic, man.
You should have seen him. Maddie had this look on his face like he just let us down. Like,
again.
And it was the most devastating. You know how a child comes to like their father or something, like, "Daddy, I messed up.
I broke it. I'm sorry. I don't know what to do, but I broke it."
It was
okay. Like we were like, "All right, whatever." Because me and Scotty had it, so it was like, "Whatever, Maddie, we got it. We took care of it, so it's good." But then Spiro Laver was out, and it happened a second time. He did the scry thing where he did, and Maddie got out of his seat. Like, he was so disappointed with himself, he got up. I was like, "Where'd Matt go?" The judge is over there looking at the card. You can see Maddie just like grabbing what hair he didn't have, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Poor Matt.
But it was good. It was wonderful. Matt really, I mean, Maddie did good. As soon as he won, though, like, you should have seen, like, he had this fire in his eye because he was, like, defeated. Like, you know, he didn't really have the deck down. He thought he had it, and all, he was kind of defeated. But as soon as he won that one, he had this fire in his eye. He was like, his fist was going. We was
pissed. Come on, bitches!
I was like, "This is the Maddie that I know. This is the picture I see right now, right on Twitter with his arm, his hand is
falling." You know what's awesome though? I never realized it, but when, you know, hear pros and even like KYT talk about like when you make a bad play, how mentally affecting it is. I always thought that's like, "Nah, that can't be that mentally affecting. Like, it's not going to really bother you." It bothered the fuck out of me. Like, I really was like, "I'm very disappointed in myself." But then when you win, especially in a complex board state, when you pull it out, it feels insane. Like, I've never had it on Moto like that. I really haven't. So, you know, I'm not always down on paper, but I kind of am, and maybe I've had a bit of my eyes open. Cause man, I gotta tell you, man, when we won, that was insane. We were freaking hyped out of our minds. That was such a good feeling,
dude. I think there's that difference. I mean, you know, there's lots of difference between Moto and paper, but that's one of those things. Like, even, you know, if I'm playing, you know, a Moto match, and I do, you know, I actually make good plays. I use my fucking what little bit of a brain I have, and I fucking handle shit, and I do well. And even if there's people, you know, birding the match, watching it, and fucking. It's not that big of a deal. I'm just like, yeah, I'm stoked for myself, but it's a whole different, and the same when, you know, when I make fucking mistakes and it's just like, eh, no big deal, you know, but then it's like when you're in a situation where you're sitting around playing in person, whether it be fucking at my house and fucking playing casually with my fucking friends, or whether it be a fucking pre-release or whatever, like those, you know, those decisions that you make, whether they affect you positively or negatively, they just, there's so much more to it. I don't know. I can't even explain what it is about it, but it's just something about being there in person.
Yeah.
Also like having a team, like that whole dynamic was like a whole another thing that I never really dealt with, because like you really felt like you had a win because you had everybody else there. Like, there's this one game where I mulled a five and I kept the one lander. I was like, "I can make it." And then I missed my land drop for three turns. And I was like, I just failed them. I knew I should have mulled again, maybe again. And then I was getting chipped away. I was all the way down to two life. I was like, "I'm just going to concede. Wait a minute. I got to play it out." And then I flip over a lightning strike, take out their flying Chimera, able to stabilize the board, and came back and won. And I just was I was on Scotty's arm, like, "I don't know how I just did this shit."
and I got to give it to Scotty. Like, he was being very negative about playing. He didn't want to be there, but I think honestly he was just fucking mind gaming us. So that we, like, because
we tried harder, because we got
I guarantee you, and he was mind gaming the opponents like I've never witnessed in my life. He had a speech. You have to listen to the A team for what he said. But I was literally dying laughing every time he'd start the match, and he would give this long speech to the opponent about how he doesn't want to be here and this format is garbage, and it would literally throw the opponents off their game. They're like sitting there, like, "Why are you telling this?" And it was brilliant. It was brilliant.
They would listen. It was the guys before the end. Like, they weren't trying to hear the speech. They're like, "Yeah." And the one guy across from me is like, "Is he done yet?" Like,
yes. Really? Yeah.
It was hilarious, but it was there. I mean, it was wonderful. So I all I could say is like, I'm looking forward to Portland because that's going to be a team event, even though it is going to be core set, but shit, I'm hooked.
Like, I got to be honest with you. Any tournament organizers, Team Sealed was
I mean, even if it was team, well, I guess you can only do team sealed, but it was such a good feeling to like pilot with your buddies. To go in there and just, oh, like Marcel said, it's like one guy goes down, the other guy picks up slack, and like, oh man, I just couldn't believe it. Like every round, we're like, we won again.
Like, oh yeah, that's gotta bring like what? A dynamic to it. Like you're just, yeah, you lose a round, you're like, God damn it, I keep losing, but wait, we won again? What the fuck?
Yeah, literally, yeah.
I have to bust you out, man. The funniest tweet that I saw from the whole fucking weekend.
Oh yeah.
You guys were talking about this shit and Bloody Mess Jess pops up and she's just like, she's like, I don't know how you guys keep winning when every time I stop by to say hi, Maddie punts a fucking match punts a fucking game. I cracked up. I was dying. But I mean, still, that's how that goes. That's how fucking Team Sealed works. And that,
that's not how Team Sealed works. That's just me punting like an idiot. Right? That, in all honesty, that like I'll own up to that. Those were bad fucking moves, man.
Speaking of Team Sealed and punting, Kevy, are you entering the main event in Portland? And do you have a teammate? Yes, because if the plan is to not enter, I'm down. But if we're gonna do the team thing. We want to play with somebody that's going to be fucked up.
Anybody that wants to win might want to stay away from our team, but we need to get a fucking team together for that fucking Team Sealed event.
Yeah, you guys do
Team O2 Drop, and you know.
Yeah, dude. O2 Drop. Spend $90 to register your team slick just to drop.
Yeah.
Be like, you can catch me at the bar. You can catch me at the bar.
Dude, wait. Kevy, can we get what's your boy's? Is Dave?
Oh, ooh, yeah, Gumby. He's amazing.
Yeah, we could get Gumby to just carry us.
He'll be your Scotty. He'll be your Scotty Mac, yeah.
I don't know if I can get David to go all the way to fucking Portland. It's possible, but I don't know if I can get him to go all the way to Portland. If not, I say we make fucking t-shirts, and then we fucking just grab the drunkest motherfucker we can find and slap the t-shirt on him and fucking roll in and do it.
Dude, so either A, we'll just... Either A, you make a t-shirt on Born Broken, me, you, and somebody else will buy them for the team, and then Tony will just buy the rest.
Exactly. Tony.
Or best case scenario, Tony just comes to Portland and is the third member of the team.
Tony's actually a very good player, too.
Is the man.
Yeah.
Dude, he hosted me up in his house in Toronto, and I was like,
yeah.
I was talking to him and I was like, I talked to you longer about staying at your house than I have ever talked to you before. And he was the fucking man, like best host I could have ever asked for. Cool as shit.
Yeah. Straight up, man.
That's what Slick said as he got in the train. He's like, man, I had the best day. I was pretty much at the Sheraton, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The best Sheraton.
Yeah.
Sheraton.
Yeah, you guys just got to get t-shirts with an arrow pointing to and let the captain sit in the middle. It's like, he's carrying us. And then Slick Jagger has the opposite arrow. He's carrying me. we're here to just, party.
So the I'm with stupid with the arrows. We'll just get all three of them and just say we're with stupid and all the arrows point up.
I have to shout out Frankie Richards for his idea when they were giving out the boxes as prizes. And he immediately just took a couple boxes and made a giant dick out of them. And it's, and we're just sitting there. Wizards guys are taking pictures of it. And I'm like, this is not going on the mothership.
Not one bit. I was like, I was thinking, this is Robot Large's favorite picture ever. We got shafts, babies, made out of porn of the guys.
And literally what made me just crack up is the people that didn't win were all looking at us like, I can't believe those assholes just won 9 boxes of Border Gods and then they go make a dick.
Like, they make a dick out of
like,
their box.
Yeah, like they literally were like, how do these fucking guys just crush this thing?
Who are these fucking chump fuckers? Apparently those guys don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah. It really was it was an awesome feeling, man. We were taunting Marshall too, and he was just like shaking his head. He's like, I don't know how you guys fucking did that. Like, I think we just blew everyone's expectations of how, like, hey man, podcast guys could actually play too, you know.
Yeah, we get down. It's three kings for a reason, you know, man. We know how to play.
Yes.
Look at KYT, he did what, 12? You know, he was playing around. Like, you know, like, watch out.
Yeah.
That's what cracked me up too, is like when I saw you guys tweeting that shit, I was like, dude, how perfect is it that it's fucking three different guys from three different podcasts that are all on fucking Man at a Brunch?
And we never planned it. Like, it literally just happened in 2 minutes. We're just like, the next guy that walks in the door, we're taking, oh, Scotty, get on the fucking team, Scotty. Like, it was just crazy. So
great.
It was destiny. Yeah.
Actually, Marcel, no, I think I was going to tell the same story. So you have a smoother voice, sir. I'll just add commentary.
All right.
Come on, Slick. All right. Well, speaking of dicks, there happened to be a heavy metal vandal going around. Like, what was up with that? Like, I swear to God, every time I go to the bathroom, I remember I went to the urinal just one spot, and I look up and I see the sign, and it's like this little leprechaun's on the sign that says, "Go fuck yourself, San Diego." And it's got a big little dick on the leprechaun. Well, I was like, what the fuck? And the metal was here.
Yeah, literally everywhere we went, even it was funny because we were walking along the street and it was snowing, and on all the car windows was penises.
Well, there's more to that because... Marcel, so on that was on the night where we walked to La Banquise, the poutine place. And that was when Marcel told me that that was the first time he ever saw snow. So immediately the first thing I did, I made a snowball and hit him with it.
Of course.
Because if you didn't grow up around snow,
you don't know.
Get hit with a snowball. And then number two, I was like, listen, now you just have to draw dicks on cars in the snow. And he was like, what? And I was like, no, trust me. Like, it's awesome. So,
it's awesome.
And my eyes just lit up.
I could draw dicks on these cars.
Yeah, because someone did one. I think Maddie did one. And it was like a skinny ass. I was like, that's not a dick. That's a pencil dick. What the fuck are you doing? And he did this big ass arrowhead. I was like, hold on. I could do this better. So I go to this other one. And then I was like, I got this nice, good dick. And I was like, oh, here's a smiley face over here. Oh, wait, this is on it. And I was like,
he drew it leaving.
Yeah. You outdrew me in dicks, that's for sure. You had some big, fat-looking dicks there that were just like, wow.
I heard in one bathroom there was even a cocktopus.
Yeah, there was. It was funny because they had all these ads for the Bell wrestling midget or whatever it is. And everywhere we went, like, I was like, how did someone draw this here? How do they know we're even here? And then it was just all we saw everywhere around Montreal was like heavy metal was here. So I don't know if the army is out there and we don't know.
Yeah, army's in force.
Yeah, it's just spreading. It's like fucking Fight Club, man. You don't know who we are.
Yeah, you don't know who did it because I asked around and I couldn't figure out who was the vandal.
No, I don't know if they're a vandal. I think artist would be more.
Yeah, I think artist is probably more correct.
If you see the artwork, it was definitely vandalism. Kevy was there, I'd be like, this was Kevy, but Kevy was nowhere to be seen.
I wasn't there.
I'm pretty sure that Kevy can channel himself through people. You know, like if they reach in their pocket and they find a permanent marker.
No, actually, Slick can channel Kevy, because that's what happened. We went to the Pupille de Cochon. Slick, you know, he did this little thing. He put his hair down. He did his slick down. And he was, I'm emo Kevy. Oh, so emotional.
This was after two bottles of wine, all right?
Yeah, so you can't be held accountable. I got it.
You said something way earlier on the cast.
No, but like.
Before we started, when he said something about fucking 90% liquor, or Maddie said he was like 90% liquor, and I think he was like 10% heavy metal and 90% liquor because I couldn't be there, which I'm proud of. Like,
yeah, that's 100% liquor right there, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh man, yeah.
There's a famous saying by my favorite Canadian TV show where a man asks another man, "Is that you talking, or is that the liquor?" And
yes.
Mr. Leahy responds, "Bobandy, I am the liquor."
Yes, sir.
That's holy fuck, eh? No,
I got yelled at. You, fucking goddamn it, I forget her name on the show. Fucking Sarah Dunsworth, the tattooed redhead. Like, I follow her on Twitter. And long time ago, I said, so, like, I posted a Twitter or a thing on Twitter that said, "Everything I know about Canadians I learned from South Park and Trailer Park Boys, and she didn't respond to it very well. She seemed rather upset. She's all, so what, you think we're all a bunch of fucking drunk idiots? And I was just all, no, I have some Canadian friends now from the internet, so.
But, yeah, they're drunk idiots, so it's not perpetuating the stereotype at all.
Yeah, exactly. All my Canadian friends are the people that I see on TV. They're all a bunch of drunks like me, and it's awesome. See, that's the problem, is you look at it the wrong way, it might be a fucked up stereotype, but I look at it as like, these are good fucking people. These are my type of people. I belong in Canada. So,
yeah. Oh, shout out to Wright ABC. He showed great hospitality to me, Jason, and Ryan, opened doors to his house, played his cube. It was great. Let us stay over there for a couple of nights while we transitioned. So, yes. Yeah. Canadians are awesome. You guys are very cool people to hang out with. So shout out to you guys.
And speaking of the old
your fucking country, I'd be even more stoked.
Yeah, yeah, like the ultimate Canadian though, and I think we all can agree. Frankie Richards.
Oh, Frankie is the man.
He's on another level. He's on another level for what Canadians are.
Frankie is the smoothest French brother out there.
Oh, yeah. Now, literally, probably the funniest event of all Montreal occurred when Frankie decided to take us, to drive us to this poutine place, and me, Marcel, and Motika were in his car. And Frankie decided to play some French hip-hop for us, and he's like, guys, you got to hear this amazing hip hop. And I'm like, yeah, okay, let's hear this, man. We're ready for this. So he doesn't just push play on the CD. He's like, watch this. And he uses the voice activation. And I'm already like, this is going to be funny. And he's like, hey, play track number two. And the computer's like, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you just said. And that went on for 10 solid minutes. Marcel's crying. I'm dying. I'm just dying. I'm punching Frank. Just stop. Please stop asking the fucking computer to understand you. And he was getting so angry. Like, you piece of fucking shit.
You see, I was fucking with him. Like, he was
saying, were you doing?
On check, I was going, blah, blah, blah. That's why he was getting angry, because we kept laughing, and the computer was recognizing our laughing as trying to hear a digital track. me and Maddie are just stood there dying, like literally we can't stop laughing. Like, I've got tears rolling down my cheeks, and Frankie's just like, all right, are you guys done yet? Can we just get the music going?
And then I'm pretty sure a couple times it was because his accent was so thick, he was just fucking.
I mean, that was part of it initially, but we started fucking.
Oh, yeah, we did. Well, typical. What do guys do, right? It's funny. We're gonna make this as long.
We're gonna beat this fucking horse into the ground.
Oh, but I gotta say, in all honesty, like, you guys are amazing, and everyone that came on this trip, and Frankie, and Martin, and everyone that we met Dom Liu off Twitter.
Shout out to Dom.
Dom's amazing.
Shout out to Dom from me.
Yeah.
We met Bruce Lee.
Yeah, and wow, man, we just met so many people. It was an incredible time. I believe personally, it was like, the people made that trip for me over everything, even over winning the frickin' Sealed. It was just so great. To just 100%. Every day. Yeah.
Like, Martin Brunet.
Martin.
I mean, he was my legal counsel. I wouldn't have survived Montreal without him.
No. You would have been in jail.
That's fucking awesome.
He's a bit of a klepto when he's drunk, but it's okay.
What do you mean? Go tell people.
So my guitar player. I'm kind of curious about this.
But he's like a harmless klepto. So like there was like a stack of newspapers in the hotel, and he just grabs all of them. And then he's like, these are 2 days old. This is sad. And then we get back to the hotel, and he just throws them everywhere. And then our hotel room looked like the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas hotel room.
Yeah, no shit.
I'm waiting to get the bill for damages, like. And then another time, like, he went out and like he stole a broom from a cart that the maids had when we were day drinking one of the days.
Oh.
And then he brought it back into the room, and then like we left and came back, and I was like, Martin, you gotta get this broom out of my fucking room, dude. So he leaves it in the hallway. And then we go out Saturday night and we get shit faced at the club at the 2108 place where I bought the gin.
And I bought the gin.
Oh,
yeah.
You bought the gin.
People who listen to the A-Team episode that'll come out will understand that. But so yeah, so we were at 2108. Motika left early. Martin and I come back at like 4:30 in the morning, shit faced, and the broom's still in the hallway. And Martin's like, dude, Motika needs this. So like Motika's passed out in the hotel room, and Martin grabs the broom and literally like tucks it into bed with Motika. And I'm like dying. Like I'm like losing my shit. Like oh dude, that was just Martin's the man. Frankie's the man. Joe the judge is the man.
Oh Cody, yeah.
Unbelievable. Scotty Mack, meeting him in person, holy shit, like, you know, Scotty pulled me aside when we were both really drunk, and he's like, you know what? You know what I think would be really awesome, Slick? And I was like, what? And he's like, if you and I could, like, meet for coffee in the middle of a work day. And I was like, that would be hilarious. He was like, you remind me of me. Like, and I was like, dude, I leave all my work at work and I keep all my home at home. And there's a strict line, but in both, I mean business. I mean,
that's so funny.
Fight hard and work hard. That's the name of the game.
Now, we're not going to talk over what the A-team wants to talk about, but in all honesty, there was a very serious, I think we were trying to set the record for how many people could be legally pronounced dead in one weekend. But, Mr. Schofield, who the train ride down was a ball of gas.
It was that guy, his idea, by the way.
Yeah, he was just, he's like, I can't wait to get out there and drink. And he's like taunting Slick the whole thing. He's like, I gotta drink this guy under the fucking table. Like, he was putting it out there. And apparently a drinking battle went down, and I wanted to hear Slick's version of what he felt.
What Slick remembers from
the book. Do you even remember buying the second bottle of gin? Or
no, I didn't. So I bought the first bottle, and then we had like, well, okay. So first of all, there were multiple bottles of vodka when we got there.
Right.
And then Schofield showed up in his leather combat boots, a blazer, and an all over purple paisley collared shirt. And I was like, yo, that's my boy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
shout out to Jeremy Schofield just for that.
Yeah.
So we start drinking some Scotty Max vodka, and then Kelly had vodka, and Jesus Christ, was Kelly fucking wasted. Oh my God.
He's getting busted out too.
Yeah. So anyway, so I don't want to ruin too much, but we drank a lot of vodka. Then I bought a bottle of gin, and then we drank a lot of gin. Well, we drank a little gin, and then my good friend Tony had some Butterfingers and dropped the Bombay on the floor of the club. and it was real full. But no hard feelings at all. I just wanted to keep drinking. So actually Tony, who was, I believe, the only shirt he brought. He brought four of the Fuck or Screw Call Him Carrie Bolts t-shirts. That's all he wore. He literally brought four of them.
God damn it, Tony, you're my fucking man.
I swear to you, that's all he wore.
He did. That's so, right. I never saw him in another shirt. Yeah.
So hoodie and that. That's all he wore.
We were in a nightclub.
I can vouch for that guy. It's not like he's some dirty fucker that just wore the same shirt the whole weekend.
No, he's got four.
He got like eight copies of that shirt.
Eight. Yeah. So Tony, like this is like a nightclub. Like the party wasn't at like a bar. Like this was at a fucking nightclub. Like there was a line and bouncers and like girls dressed like whores. And this is a nightclub.
This was not a magic night, because I came with Ryan and Jason, and basically Ryan got turned away from the bouncer. We got hard stiffed, even though that's why I didn't go in with them. Otherwise, I'd have been there. But yeah, it was a legit nightclub. This is one of the prestigious nightclubs in Toronto, so it was definitely some hot women.
Montreal, not Toronto.
Oh yeah, whatever. It's the same thing.
Same thing. It's all good.
Doesn't matter.
So, anyways, I heard that that wasn't enough for you guys, and you ended up at a Scotch bar as well.
Oh yeah, no.
Series of unfortunate events occurred.
Yeah,
to say the least.
Things happen, man. When you drink gin like that, man. That's all to say. It wasn't me. But I can't go into any more detail out of respect for the A-Team.
Yeah, the A-Team has to fucking tell their version of the story. So if you want, you know, you're going to be listening to this on Friday, you'd better fucking download the A-Team on Monday so you can hear the full version of the Schofield incident.
If you ever read comic books and you'd see that little asterisk in some action panel, it's like, read Avengers number 4 for more on this story.
Exactly.
Download the next episode of A-Team on Monday for that whole story. But apparently...
Because we did shit in Vegas, like, it was like we all got on and talked all about it, and all of our cast talked all about it for like 6 months. And so we want to make sure you guys actually get, you know, the word from the mouth of the people that were there.
Yeah, because Scotty, he did a play-by-play for me the next day on breakfast. You know, we had breakfast and had the
diagrams and everything.
Oh, and it was like the way he explained it was so hilarious.
Diagrams and I was legitimately worried that someone died.
Yeah, yep. Because the scary thing about the whole thing is, you know, we it was Sunday and Schofield was about to judge, and literally he never came back.
No, so, he was supposed to get his level 2 test.
Yeah, but we literally, no one saw. Like, I didn't see him for about 20 hours. So I was like, man, does anyone want to go check on that guy? Like, should someone go, like, make sure he's alive? Like, you know, that he isn't suffocated or something, man? Oh.
Well, the good thing
Scotty just kept telling people, like, yeah, no, haven't seen him. Like, he's just in the room.
Yeah,
I was like, "Well, damn."
But yeah, it was pretty awesome, man. I got to spend the whole train ride. Oh well, anyways, the best part too, I got to mention, is we went to the poutine place, and Frankie had been tweeting that, hey, there's a poutine called Le Maddie, so of course I had to get that, and it was insane. Like,
what would it have?
The Le Maddie.
Yeah, it was like onions and ground beef or something?
No, there was no ground beef. I think it was like onions, mushrooms, and...
I think it was something to do with french fries and gravy, but I don't really remember.
Everything had french fries and gravy on it, but it was really good. I was very impressed. Very cool place. I could tell, and like the food prices were all really good. Like, never felt like it was like Vegas prices. And shit was really good. I like it a lot.
Our waitress was so hot.
What the fuck? Yeah, dude, little skirt on, goth girl. Oh my goodness.
It wasn't overt.
No?
It wasn't like overt, like throwing your face over the top. Yeah. Like, but you know, you looked at it, and then you look at it, you're like, she really is super sexy. Like, look at that.
Yeah.
By the end of the day, everyone was like, oh yeah, she's a 10.
Yeah, and it was the glasses, right?
The tattoo.
Yeah. Damn, they know what they're doing in Montreal. I'll tell you what, they raise their women to look fine. They definitely have that for sure.
they were all hot.
Oh, they were. The best though is on Monday morning. Literally, me and Rye were down in the breakfast place there, and everyone that walked in for breakfast was like, "Don't talk to me, just." And they're like, it's Monday, the train is coming at noon, and no one wanted to say anything. And JR Time Elemental comes down, and he is just the best, man. That guy he's like, hey, man, you know what? You can't talk to me right now. I'm really strung out, man. Like, and he literally just was tripping out of his mind. Like,
dude, JR was like, the best way that I described him when I was really wasted was like, low key, probably the coolest guy here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. JR's an animal. Like, he came to Oakland and I really respected JR after that. I was like, this guy knows how to get down.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, dude, the guy is cool as shit. Under
radar.
Yeah. But, the best thing was, I was like, well, I'm like, we haven't been to Schwartz's Deli yet. The whole reason, like, we came here and we haven't had time to do it yet. I'm like, I'm doing it. And Marcel's like, look, man, I think I'm going to fucking puke. Like, there's no way. And I was sure Marcel would come, but he's like, I can't. I'm passing on this, guys. So me, Ryan, and Durf were the only people like, we're getting a cab. We're going to Schwartz's Deli at like 9 in the morning. We're going to pray it's open, and we're getting smoked meat before we leave Montreal. So we roll up, and it's closed. And the guy, and we knock on the door. The guy opens, and we're like, can we sit in here till it opens? And the guy's like, sure, why not, right? So we sat there for an hour until they would serve us. And then guess who walks in? David Ochoa walks into Munchie, and he looks at us, and he's like, oh, I see some people know what to do. And I'm like, hey, have a seat. So we had smoked meat with David Ochoa, and then we were like in a cab – flying to the train station to catch it, man. And it was 100% worth it, man. Unbelievable food. Just mind-blowingly good.
I'm so heartbroken. I asked them to give me a sandwich, and they were so excited by the meat and David Ochoa that they just forgot about me. So.
Yeah.
Fucking bastard.
You know the word.
I know. Because he was like, this is the best meal I had in all Montreal, and I'm just looking at him. Like, yeah. Cool, I got a sandwich. Yeah. And then he said something about not getting a sandwich. It didn't register until I got on the train, and then I was really hungry. I was like, hey, could I get that sandwich now? I was like,
He's all, no, what I said is I didn't get a sandwich. I met David Ochoa.
The worst part is in the cab, as we're driving away from the restaurant, Rye is like, uh-oh. I'm like, what? Did we forget something? He's like, kind of. Marcel wanted us to get a sandwich. I'm like, oh, damn. we're driving away. And, of course, the cabbie is typical, you know, crazy. I'm like, well, I really don't want to go back for that. We only got 10 minutes to get to the train station. I don't want to miss my train waving a smoked meat sandwich at it. Yes. And it's driving away.
Marcel, I got you, Mom.
Yeah, I got you, boss, but we're fucked. No, I'm sorry, Marcel. I'll make it up to you, man. I'll see if I can get them to ship me one, and I'll ship it down to Oakland for you, bro.
It's all good. It's my fault for getting drunk the night before. I should have been on the cab with you guys there, so that's my fault. But, you know, I respect that. It gives me a reason to come back to Montreal, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, man. And I mean, I spent the whole train ride, like 6 hours, talking to Anthony Awesome Sauce there, and he is a fucking trip, man. That guy is amazing. Positive dude. Great vibe. Just honest, dude. He's really cool.
I don't have enough good things to say about that guy, man. He led me into his house, and he barely knew me and was fucking the coolest. And being a chef and staying at a chef's house is never a bad choice.
Oh, no.
Anthony, like, cooked everything. I was like, what the fuck? This is really like a full service hotel. Yeah. God damn.
Yeah. Everybody was amazing, in all honesty, except for one fucking guy. And I got scumbagged on day two playing for the Winnebox. And Scotty had warned me because he'd played this guy before. And he's like, watch this guy. I'm like, all right, I'll watch him. Right?
Yeah, I'm watching him. What's he going to do? Yeah. Tricks?
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck's the deal? Right? And so this is the scummiest, just dirty scummy bag move, right? So he's playing white green, and he's got a Nessie and Asp on the board and 6 mana. So it can't – he doesn't have the mana to monster it, right? And I'm fully aware. I'm like, I get that that's going to get monstered next turn, and I'm dead, right? Like, it's plainly clear that I'm dead if it monsters – if he triggers it. If not, I win. So I'm sitting there, and he's like, are you going to play? I'm like, just give me a second. I'm just doing the math. I'm like, I'm like, how do I lose? I can't lose. So he's like, okay, I'm about to go to my attack step. And I'm like, how many lands do you have? He's like, he doesn't say anything. He just opens his hands, and I count. I look at the lands, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lands. And I'm like, okay, fine. And I'm like, attack. And he's like, attacks. And I'm like, no blocks.
because I'm going to crack back for the win. He starts to tap all his mana, and he's like, trigger monstrous. I'm like, you can't. You have six lands. And he touches one of the lands and pulls it back to reveal a seventh land under it. The dirtiest douchebaggy. And I literally
Ask him how many lands he had?
I said, lands. Well, I didn't say how many. Like, I just said lands, and he just opens his hand, and I counted six, right? Like, I wasn't thinking he's going to pull it. Anyways, so my comment was golden, right? Because there's, like, everyone, like, looks because they hear my sigh, right? Like, I'm like, what the fuck is this? And everyone looks over. I'm like, well, that's the scummiest fucking move ever. And I'm the judge, like, whoa, well, you can't be fucking, like, swearing at your opponents. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, fine, fine, whatever, man. If it fucking means that much to you, that you can have the fucking win. Like, I was so pissed off. Like, what a dirtbag scumball. And he's like, seven lands. I don't understand. I'm like, yeah, you don't speak English. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. All of a sudden, now you don't know what I'm saying, right? Just a total scumbag move. But then Scotty was like, he's like, yeah, I warned you, dude. I fucking warned you. I'm like, ah, damn it. Dirty scumbag move for no reason. Like, For a couple packs, come on, man. Whatever.
Could you call a judge on that, or you didn't call the judge?
I could have, but Marcel, that we were. How long did we play in that goddamn thing?
There way too long. Way too long.
It was 4 or 5 hours just to win four packs. I literally was like, I don't care. I just want to go eat. Like,
yeah, it was a waste of time. I ended up with a half a box, so it wasn't that bad for me. But
oh, did you get half a box? Sweet.
Yeah, 20 packs. But they were all six packs, which is suck.
Yeah, exactly, right? You know what Anthony was doing, though? This is how much of a baller he is. He was crushing Modern on side events, and he would take all the French pack he'd won, and he'd just go around to people like, hey, you want some French packs? Trade for English packs. And so he actually traded out like 30, 40 packs back into English because he just went around and did the legwork.
Just trading people?
Yeah, because he's like, he would just go up to French guys, hey, you want to trade your English packs or French packs? And they'd be like, yeah, sure. I'm like, man, I don't have the energy for that shit. I just was like, I'm going to throw mine in the fucking garbage. Like, I don't have that kind of energy, man. But seriously, Marcel, would you do a team sealed again?
Oh, fuck yes.
I'm in.
We're doing that shit in Portland.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be on team Kevy Slick.
I wouldn't be on team Kevy and Slick. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, because I'm going to try to at least try to win. I'm gonna get drunk, but I'm gonna try to win. You know,
watch me, Slick, and the bum from Outsider gonna dream crush everybody.
I know you guys are probably just gonna smash. I'm
just like, we're obviously gonna open the best pool because we're the drunkest.
I'm all, yeah. What the fuck? They reprinted Lightning Bolt and M15. I could do this. Yeah,
and then you'll pass it to Marcel. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, no shit.
No, you know what, Marcel? You should get Jason Alt and Corbin, man, if he's still allowed to play.
We're gonna see. I'm gonna see. They might be coming down. I'm not 100%. Ryan is definitely. Seems like he might be in, so he'd be good to have on. He's actually a pretty good player.
Yeah.
I'll see. I'm gonna figure it out. I'm not 100% on the team yet. I'm not gonna figure that out till we get there.
That'd be sweet.
That would be nice. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to see what I want to do, if I really want to go hard on the win, or if we want to have fun as Team Brainstorm, or if we want to try to create a super team of people that can play good. It's in the air. But I'm definitely, all I know is I'm going to be in Portland, because Portland's going to be probably just as good as Montreal in terms of quality. It's not going to be Vegas. Nothing's going to beat Vegas.
Nothing's ever going to beat Vegas.
No, until there's Modern Masters 2 in Vegas. That literally, is until that happens. Where
no, but that will be that will if they actually come through with that,
8,000 people.
That will be a bloody mess.
Yeah,
oh,
like yeah, you, they were like heavy, the like heavy.
Down. No,
like, I don't. Like,
think you, will shut down after GP or Vegas.
I don't
too.
Think you realize, like me, from me, just like being an SVU member, like not, you know, I have a stream, I do my thing, but like being in Vegas and then being in Montreal, like you have no idea how much it's grown, dude. Like I was signing shit. I don't do it. I'm just the guy that's like sometimes on the cast really drunk. Like
yeah.
It was insane, dude. If they do another Modern Masters in Vegas, like the world is going to die.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, Scotty and a lot of people were telling me, because I wasn't paying that much attention. They're like, everybody's asking. like a kid, a fucking 11-year-old kid came up to me and he's literally like, heavy metal. I'm like, yeah, heavy metal. He's like, I love the show. I'm like, that's sweet. He goes, you can't tell
that's
my mom.
Terrifying. That's terrifying.
Like, you can't tell my mom. And I'm like, is your mom here? Like, okay, I won't tell her. And he runs away. Like, I was like, what? And then I'm like, I'm signing guys' fucking hoodies and shit. It was crazy. And I gotta be honest, like, it really felt like there was like 20 hoodies. There's a lot of people there in heavy metal gear, you know, just walking around.
Like criminals.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you guys were hooligans. I was like, look at this goon squad out here. Like, you know, they walked in and everyone was just looking up like, yeah, we're not playing with them. And then when we went one of the nine packs, like the nine boxes, we're over there in the corner by the coverage team. Yeah. And then we're sitting there with Scotty. We had about six people. Then all of a sudden Slick came in with Boutique and the big old group of about like, you know, 15 to 20 more. I was like, God damn, you got a football team and backups right here. Oh my goodness.
No, dude, and I love the fact that if you don't know what the fuck's going on, you just see a bunch of dudes in black fucking hoodies with red fucking brass knuckles on the back of them that say heavy
exactly.
Metal.
it's
almost scary. It's fucking hilarious.
All with A-team fucking hats on. So it's like black and red, you know?
That is guerrilla marketing at its best, man.
Yeah.
You're a sick genius, Matty Studios. You are a sick
fucking... Yes,
I believe, and I don't know if you caught this. I don't think we actually tagged you in it, but one of the nights when I was really fucking drunk, I said, Matty Studios is like a fucktarded Yoda.
Yeah, it's a very accurate description.
He knows everything, but he just fucking toys with you.
Yeah. It's true. It is pretty crazy.
Great.
No, I realized actually listening to an old cast that you had the best description ever of Kevy Metal, which is Darwin on Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the de-evolution, man. The best line, I think, of the whole thing was a guy comes up to me and just for shits and giggles, right? He's like, Matty Studios? And I'm like, nope. And he's like, oh. I'm like, it's General Studios to you.
General Studios, yeah.
And he literally didn't know if I'm joking or not. I guess because I could come off a little bit intimidating. And I'm like... I'm just kidding with you, man. Don't fucking worry.
He's all, oh, I thought you guys were cool. Yeah. I have to call you General now? Shit.
Yeah, it's General Studios. The best
Studios was literally like Tony Soprano the whole weekend.
Yeah. I love it. Like Slick Jagger's like, he doesn't give a fuck about anything. He just doesn't give a fuck. Look at him just sitting there. He doesn't give a fuck about any of this shit. The best, though, is me and Marcel had a conversation. We had a 20-minute conversation with Zach Hill. Yeah. Good old Zach Hill, which, I mean, I have a bit of new respect for the man. I know I give him a hard time for his coverage, but he was walking us through a deck he chose, and it was really interesting. But the best comment he had is, he's like, yeah, I got a Bow and Ilea in my deck. And we're like, yeah, that's really good. We got red-green deck, sounds like it's going to go great. He's like, oh, I didn't even know how to fucking play this card. He goes, I'm just relying on my opponent to tell me how the fucking triggers work because I don't remember any of this shit and I designed this card. Like,
He was playing out like, you know, he's like, he didn't know the combat math and he's in there. He didn't think he has his opponent tells him, oh, I can't do that because you'll be able to do that with that attack. And then, or some other time, like,
attacking with a flyer because he could kill it. And he's like, okay, great.
His opponent put Stratus Walk. On his guy, and he didn't realize that he could do two damage to it, and his opponent facepalmed him. Oh, why did I make that play? And he's like, oh, he could kill my flyer, and he's like, oh, I can. Okay, I'll do that.
Oh shit, sweet.
Oh man, it was.
You got your Apple geniuses. This is your fucking wizard geniuses that work.
Yeah, that's it, right?
So what about Maschioli?
I saw that picture and had no idea that he was even there. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, was it you or Frank? I was thinking it was Frankie that said that's, he's like, that's Matt. Me.
I saw
him. Was it you? Okay.
It's like, is that Mask? Because we were just in a crowd in a group and all of a sudden, some kind of corner, I was like, wait a minute, he's familiar.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Yeah, we were all talking, and a guy just like walk, you know, when a guy like tries to get in the conversation, or just like walk up in a group and try to get close, and then realizes that he shouldn't be there. You know, and that's what this guy did. And I thought it was just a random fan that got scared. Like, you know, like it's me, Marcel, Scotty Mack. Like, it's a big time people. I think we were talking to Reed Duke or something.
That's probably exactly what happened. The motherfucker's a huge fan, but he can't admit it. Yeah. So
the worst is he sits down and I'm like, this is I don't even look at him, right? I'm just talking to Marcel. I'm like, this is Mascioli? And then I'm like, okay. And I stand up and start taking my hoodie off, right? And I'm like, oh man. And I'm like a boxer, right? I'm like, whew, I gotta warm up, right? And he's looking around like, what's he doing? And I'm like, Marcel, you got a camera? And you know, Marcel's like, yeah, I got one. I'm like, all right, I want you to take a picture. And Mascioli was like, of what? I'm like, I'm about to crack you in the fucking head. And he's literally like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna choke you out, man, for the camera. And I'm doing stretches and like curls, and he's just like, what? I'm like, okay, post for the picture, ready? And I like wind up with my fist, and I hear him say, why would you do this? And I'm just Marcel was like such a nice guy. He's like, Matt, you're going too far, man. You're literally putting a razor blade in his hand. You can't. He's going to kill himself if you keep going, right? And I was like, oh, fine. But I got a picture with him. I'm going to put that on my Twitter profile somewhere.
Yeah, because like Marcel, I was.
Go ahead. No, I was just gonna say, what the fuck are you doing with all the video you took, bro?
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna look at it and see what I can piece together.
comprehensible moments are peaceable.
Exactly. There's some good stuff there, and there may be some stuff that ain't so good. So we'll figure it. But yeah, with the Mascioli, this you know, like I felt bad for the guy. I was like, I can't talk to this guy. But then I seen that. I was like, oh, this guy's really, like, I feel, I hate to say
sad.
He's sad. He's like an Eeyore.
You're like, he is Eeyore, yeah.
He was like an Eeyore.
He is the Eeyore of magic. Yeah, he's like, I don't know why I'm here. I shouldn't be here. Like, just, like, so depressed. I'm like, I don't know why he comes out there. And I asked him, I'm like, dude, why the fuck are you like that? And his answer almost made me crack him in the head. He's like, well, someone's got to tell these people that they're wrong, and you know it's me, and I don't care that everyone hates me because that's my role. I'm like a needed thing in this community.
Oh, dude, I got this Booze Cube card just brewing in my head. It's like Mascioli, the Eeyore of the magic community. And when you cast it, you turn target fucking player into fucking Eeyore, Mascioli Eeyore of the magic community. And every time you have to drink, you can just make that guy drink. And every time you take damage, you can just make that guy take damage.
Oh, see, I thought it would be it's a spell, and it turns a creature into a Mascioli, and then target creature fights it because it can't help it. Yeah, that poor guy, man. I don't know why he does what he does, man.
He did it on purpose. He's like a Howard Stern, a shock jock. You know, and he's out there just trying to stir up the community. He says so. He's trying to stir up the community.
He's a troll.
In person, he's not like that. He's like, I just do that online. Because I think he knows in person someone probably would honestly hit him in his face.
Well, yeah, but he did it. I almost did. Like, he's a weird dude, man. Yeah.
You're lucky that Tony or I weren't around.
I know. See, and that's the thing. I'm like, if the wrong people – Marcel's such a good guy, but if the wrong people are there, that would have not ended well for that poor guy.
If he would have had any type of bite, I was going to try to fuck with him all I could. But he had no bite, and I just felt wrong, you know?
Yeah. It's like kicking a dog with one leg.
That's what I get about that guy, though. He's mastered the art of, like, he'll stir up all the fucking shit that he wants, and then he'll do the whole, why would you pick on me? I'm just a guy that's just, you know, here. Yeah. Like, why would you? And he, like, I think he knows what he's doing. He's just one
It's called turtling. And in hockey, there's nothing more that we hate than guys that turtle. You don't start a fight and then turtle. Don't do that shit. Then don't say anything. Get the fuck out of there. So in all honesty, my message to you, Mascioli, if you listen to this cast and you're hoping to hear yourself, you did. But now stop. Just get the out of there and seriously stop this bullshit. Because
my message to you as the random SVU member is that you're lucky that like I didn't just like happen to see Matty take his hoodie off like he was going to fight somebody with no other context. Because that would have ended really badly.
Yeah, because you would have chest dove.
If I was there from the start, I would have thought it was funny. But if I just randomly saw this happening, it would have been like, all right, this dude's got to go. No way the Godfather's going to take care of this. We gotta stop.
Yeah, we'll handle it. I love it. Look what you've created.
I know.
Crazy bastard.
The craziest thing I saw, though, in all of Montreal – actually, I didn't even see the conclusion. Slick did. But Joe the Judge, when we went to that karaoke thing, I've never seen anyone, and even like I honestly never saw anyone could do this. They were selling 4-liter pitchers of beer for $17 or $11. It was dirt cheap.
$17. $17. Totally cheap. Like 4 liters, bro.
Yeah. So he buys one, and I'm like, oh, cool. It's huge.
Like a 2-liter soda. Imagine two liters of soda.
Two of those of beer.
Yeah, so he buys one, and I'm like, oh, sweet, he's buying one for, like, all of us at the bar. And he's like, no, get your hands off. This is mine. Yep. And you're like, oh, he's going to pour it in a glass. No, the man drank out of the fucking pitcher.
And he pounded it. It was like an hour, and it was less than an hour. He had the first one done, and he went for two.
Yeah, thank you, Marcel, for saying that. He drank 4 liters and then ordered a second one.
Yeah, the dude was a sicko, man. Like, wow. That guy is the fucking man. Like,
I'm going to become a judge.
Yeah, hey, you know what's funny? All the judges threw up this weekend. What the fuck is that all about?
Because I seen him after the second pitcher. Like, you know, I was in the front of the building. Like, I was over there they were talking with KYT and stuff, and then I seen him and he running out with his hand over his mouth. I'm like, uh-oh, he's about to blow himself. And I go out there, and he just went to us with that poutine spot. The whole poutine was everywhere.
He got the mega size poutine too. Like I got a regular and I was full of shit.
Yeah.
Like Joe, you know, that dude is a tank, man. I mean, I can't do like if I drink 8 liters of water, like
I can't do that. Dude,
like, you know, that's why I drink liquor. Like,
yep.
You can't drink 8 liters of beer, bro. You will fucking throw up everywhere. Like,
so that's on top of eating poutine. Like, you're already full. Like, you know, you're gonna.
I don't care how big of a guy you are. That like your stomach is only so big, man.
Yeah. Exactly. Have everyone heard of the 2-liter milk challenge? That's impossible for the. Oh no, it's a gallon of milk. You can't drink a gallon of milk. So there you go. It's also impossible to drink 8 liters of beer. That's what we've
he's an awesome guy. Like he was there judging the.
Oh, he's awesome, dude.
And he was, you know, he was very fair. And you know, there was one point I asked if I could sideboard in the land, and I asked him, and he was like, "That's the way that you're supposed to do it." Not like how Jay Bush did. You could have got a game loss. I was like, "Thank you."
Awesome. Yeah.
No, it was crazy. Apparently, I didn't stay to the end, but Slick. A fight broke out at the end too. What the hell happened there, man?
You guys had fights and shit. I didn't get to fight in Vegas when I got to hang out with you guys. I didn't get to fight in Oakland either. What the fuck?
Oh man,
you missed out, dude.
There were throbbing cocks drone on boards outside of this bar
to mark it as
this wasn't in the bathroom. At this bar, we were so drunk that they were outside the bar. And so what happened was, like, so Joe and I and, like, I think JR and a couple other people are out front. And Joe's puking. And it was so funny because when Joe was puking, Frankie Richards, like, his ass crack was hanging out when he was leaned over. And Frankie Richards leans down next to him, like in the pose, in the cockpit.
He did not.
He did. Marcel, do you have that picture?
I do not know what said picture you are talking about.
That's the best. That is the best. Just goes down into the pose right away. That's awesome.
Frankie's a fucking genius. That's why. Yeah.
I should say, by the way, fucking that guy that, like, everybody, you know, right off the bat when all that ass crack shit happened and everybody was just like, you know, back and forth, oh, this guy's fucking terrible. And then everybody else was like, oh, well, this guy is not that bad of a fucking guy. You should pull up your fucking pants. Regardless what side of the fucking fence you fall on, that dude, like, single-handedly just taking pictures next to people's asses, like, took the Magic community to a different level, because yeah, that's all over fucking the internet everywhere.
My mom called me today and told me that she saw that, and she was laughing. She was like, oh, me and your dad were in bed, and he brought it up on the iPod or the iPad, and we were laughing about it. Like, oh, that's funny. Our son's at one of those things.
I saw my mom, and she was just busting up laughing. Like, you know, it's just funny the way his pose, the solemn, you know, the pose.
Yeah, just so solemn and fucking serious.
The teardrop just kills me, man. Like, the tear, he has a tear in his eye, man. Like, he's like. And you know what?
My favorite is when he gets his homie in there with him, and they're
yes,
both still.
Yes.
He's just like, "Hey, man, this is fucked up, right?" And brings his buddy over, and they fucking.
Two seconds about Crackgate. I don't know if any of you guys saw this, but Matt Sperling actually interviewed the guy who was behind it on his blog.
No, I didn't know.
I don't have a link for it, but his responses were like exactly what I would say. Like, it was like, I did this because I thought it was funny for my friends. Like, no way did I expect 20 million people to end up finding this. Like, I get that part of it was wrong, and I understand why they had to make an example of me and ban me for 18 months, but like,
yeah, it was worth it.
Like, yeah, like, you know, he was in Montreal, dude.
He was? Like,
what?
When he got what? To talk to him.
How did we miss that?
I have no idea. That was one of the shortcomings, is that we didn't fucking tackle that.
Out with that dude and talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, as of course, you know, what he did was, you could see the wrongs to it, but at the same time, what he did was kind of awesome also, so.
It was awesome.
That's my whole point in it. Like, I haven't really, like.
Laughed so hard.
I haven't taken a side in this whole fucking thing. It's exactly that. It's the fact that, you know what? I get where it was wrong, but how many, like, if there's any of you out there that fucking think that you've never done anything fucking wrong before, then you can eat a dick. Like, I've done plenty of shit wrong in my life, and it's like, you know what, if you can be, like Slick was saying, if you can be like, oh, hey, man, I thought it was funny, you know, it was no big deal, but then it fucking blew up out of proportion, but, you know, you got the fucking Massiolis out there that, of course, are gonna fucking get all crazy about it and talk about how it's, like, hurting women's rights and fucking voters' rights and fucking, you know, civil rights, and, like, they'll turn it into anything. But, like, if you just fucking, you do some shit, you have some fun. Like, okay, if fucking Maddie knocked Massioli out just for being a fucking puppet, like, it, you know, of course, that's probably not the fucking PC thing to do, and it probably wasn't the right thing to do. And if everybody on the internet picks it apart, 20 million people on the internet pick it apart, yeah, you're going to find the faults in it. But the dude was just fucking around, is what it comes down to.
Which is what I thought was for it. I thought this was very, like, he was like, yeah, like, you know, people said that I was fat bashing, like.
No,
I'm not a small dude. Like, these dudes had their ass cracks hanging out, and it's funny.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with fat bashing or fat shaming.
Okay, I could get it if that was like me or Slick fucking standing there like skin and bones fucking, you know, posing. Yeah, I could get that. But
he's a dude too. Yeah,
he's a big boy, but he apparently knows how to pull up his pants and fucking take pictures of people that can't.
He has a belt.
Yeah. Oh, dude, heavy metal belts. Why didn't we do that yet?
You gotta check out
the Smooth Brothers, because Tyrone, he didn't hear about this at all.
Oh, like, I told Marcel this, and I hope he takes it to heart to keep Tyrone in the dark about everything they speak about.
Dude, that is the best.
Don't tell him what the show is about. Just start the show, and when you reveal things to him, it is I die laughing, because his reactions are priceless.
Tyrone is an awesome motherfucker, and he does his shit. He loves magic, and he just puts himself out there by himself. But the best part about the Smooth Brothers is the fact that, like, Marcel is in touch with this community and everything that's going on in the community, whether it be fucking top tier decks or the fucking the bullshit that's going on in the community, whatever. And it's like every time, it's like the perfect fucking dynamic, because every time you fucking tell him about some shit, they, I mean, you know, half the time when, you know, we're listening to the episode, it's like, oh yeah, you know, that fucking Blue Moon deck or fucking whatever. Like, we know about it, but like, Tyrone is, like, in his world, and he's doing his shit, and it's so fucking awesome to hear his take on it from, like, it's just like you heard it for the first time, and you're just like, what? That's fucking crazy.
It's so awesome, man. Like it's doing the stream.
Dynamic, dude.
Yeah, like, doing the stream for him, like so I stream on his Twitch channel, and, mm-hmm. like, just working with him on that. Like, it's just refreshing. Like, that's why I like Smooth Brothers so much, because, like,
yeah.
The dynamic is, like, Marcel is, like you said, like, so in tune. And then, like, Tyrone is, like, he's an awesome personality. And it's, like, you get to relive discovering, like, things about Magic for the first time. And for me, yeah, that's just, like, priceless.
Don't get me or us wrong. Like, Tyrone's not a fucking simpleton. It's not like we're fucking hanging out with some retarded kid and fucking exploiting it. Like, Tyrone's a smart motherfucker.
Jesus Christ.
No, what I'm saying is, like, I almost feel like that's the way it's coming off, but it's just that he doesn't look at the Magic community. Like, he's not fucking as involved in Twitter. He doesn't look at, you know, what's going on in the GP. He doesn't look at all this bullshit. It's not like that at all. That motherfucker is an intelligent motherfucker that fucking goes out and he just looks at Magic and the way to play Magic from a different set of eyes than we do. And it's so fucking awesome to hear his fucking point of view on shit. And like I said, it's like reliving it for the first fucking time. Like, you know, hearing him,
you didn't say that. I said that shit.
Exactly. That's why I took that to heart when you said, you know, let him and avail it to him and the whole crackhead. Because he said, hey, Marcel, check this out. And he was like, he showed me a link, and it was like three pictures from the crackhead on Sports Illustrated. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is funny. I was like, you didn't hear about this. Oh, yes. I'm going to save this for the cash. You got to wait. And I was like, I'm going to unveil this. I remember this is good. And it was perfect. His reaction was perfect. He went through the laughter and then the
and then
he broke it down how he was funny and how people need to fix their appearance. But at the same time, the negative aspects to it, like he went the full circle, the full gamut.
Exactly. Because he's a reasonable human being.
Exactly.
I think, like, the four of us are perfectly reasonable people. We're a little bit crazy, okay? But, like, it's obviously funny, and it's obviously fucked up. Like, everybody can acknowledge that, and if you're smart, you can figure out, you know, what percentage of yourself feels on what side, but, like...
And you move on. That's a thing. Yeah. 90% of the people just go, okay... And move on. The 1% that just tries to rally this and make it a cause.
From one end or the other. Like,
you
can either rally on the whole, this guy is fucked up and he's ruining Magic and this is what's wrong with everything in the world and you guys are all terrible people. Or you can be the guy that's like, oh, bro, dude, that's so awesome. Let's go do that to all our friends. Like, there's a fucking happy medium in the middle where you're just like, oh, that was funny. It was kind of fucked up, but it was funny. I'm a grown up and I can deal with this. And now,
and let's get on to the real world. It was great. Let's move on. You know 20 million hits.
You know what I will say though is that the proxy guy or robot, I was in a blur when I listened to their podcast earlier with Aaron. It was awesome, but I think it was proxy guy. He was like, what if he put up the same exact post, but got consent from all of those people?
Yeah.
Like, if they said, if they were all like, yeah, okay, this is awesome. And like a later post that he put up was just like him like hugging all of the guys. But the one that was the crack gate got to like the national news. Like, would he still get banned? Like, I think it's interesting to think about it that way. Like, because does it really matter? Like, people, like, the media is going to thrive to portray a game like Magic the Gathering at its worst stereotypical point, like they do with everything else in the media. So, like,
It's going to be that way regardless. Like,
if it was literally completely staged,
yeah,
like it would have gotten the same publicity and would have been spun the same way. When like this is out of Magic's realm, like this is like over hundreds of millions of views. Like our culture is not used to dealing with things like that. Like it's just not in our realm of comprehension. And I think that honestly, like that's what happens when things get that big. Like the media is just going to do whatever they're going to do and make it right. The way they want to make it. And we don't have a say over it. You know,
that's very profound there. I like that. That's a great way of taking it.
Yep. So is anything else gone on that we even know about in Magic? Or I believe I'm not up to date besides Magic going down for 2 days.
I found out today that Christian Calcano won that tournament we were at.
I thought it was G-Fabs that won it.
Hey, I got a question because all you motherfuckers were there, and I haven't heard fucking ounce of this. Was there a Booze Cube Champio fucking winner?
No. Oh, you know what?
That was the most disappointing thing.
Don't get me started, man, because I hurt. I prepped. Maddie saw me drink, all right? If there was a Booze Cube going on, my body was prepared to win that fucking tournament.
I even said that. Yeah. At first day, I'm like, you know, Slicks. I mean, when you see, you know, like when you remember in the olden days, you'd watch like the Royal Rumble and you knew, you know, you knew that there's this guy that like, he's going to get the push. There's no way anyone's going to beat Slick this weekend. I don't think anyone was going to beat him. Like he was hands down the favorite, and I think everyone chickened out and didn't want to fight him.
So what you're telling me is that you guys didn't even go through with the fucking Booze Cube tournament.
No, we tried.
Hold up. The train was the worst part of the entire trip. This was not GP drunk train. This is GP not drunk train.
No, I get that. I get that. And I realize you guys weren't going to be able to do this on the train, but what you're telling me is that you guys couldn't find any spot through the whole weekend to have a Booze Cube tournament?
Yeah, well, we were going to do it on Sunday, but we ended up winning a fucking team seal that took 8 hours to complete.
Yeah, that was just the fucking three of you.
Yeah, actually, you know what? That is out of our hands because Kelly, he actually made a Booze Cube. He printed it on cardstock. It was ready to go. Like, it could have went. We had a whole refrigerator brainstorm brews, you know, after the tournament. We went there. Oh, by the way, that brainstorm brew was awesome. Shout out to Motika.
Motika, huge shout out, man.
Oh man, that
was an American doing appreciate a good beer. I love you, Maddie, but your comments weren't very enthusiastic earlier, and I needed somebody to come through.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
I mean, I can understand people saying it's bitter. Like to me, that was what I want, like the beer. They had two batches. One was a little more stouty. One was a little more IPA hoppy. I liked the one that was a little more stouty, but I could both of them I could argue for. The only downside to the beer I saw was it over fizzed much. Other than that, it was a stellar beer. Like literally, like I actually came in, you know, not expecting a whole lot, and like nothing against you guys, but you know, anytime you hype something up, you know, you always tend to get disappointed, like the GP drunk train, and and so I was like, you know, I didn't have super high expectations. I had lower expectations, you say, and I was just blown away. The beer was just solid, like you know, it was a hitter. So like we're gonna make more again.
You know what? You know what I think? Why the Booze Cube Championship didn't happen? It was that insane a GP. There was literally, and also I think all of us as a group can't control ourselves. So we're like, let's go get something to eat. And then that turns into something and we sidetrack
and sidetrack.
And then it's 1 a.m. and people are passing out, throwing up. And we're like, when are we going to do this thing?
There has to be somebody fucking pointing directions. And you need somebody, because like even that, like you know, Vegas, we had the Booze Cube fucking championship, but I mean that was a fucking array in itself. Like shit was out of hand. It was back and forth, and it was who's gonna be in the house at this time and blah. And we happened to have the party in the house to be able to host that.
If we had a house, it would have been a different story.
Right.
Yeah, the house would have changed it. And you need to have I think you need to have a Booze Cube TO. You need to have a TO for the Booze Cube.
Absolutely. Like, you have to have somebody who's like, going to be like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to drink this weekend until after this shit happens.
Yeah.
Because I can see that being a fucking, especially when you don't have a fucking common house where everybody's at. We're going to be like, oh, I'm drinking in the kitchen. Oh, we're playing Booze Cube. All right, fuck it. I'll do it. and at least get it started.
Yeah,
we're going to do that in Portland.
Different places.
We're
going to
do logistics. We're going to get a spot where we're specifically, we're going to get down on Booze Cube because that's the only way that's going to happen. So we're going to do logistics. We're going to figure it out. We got Puka Trader. He just hit me up. So we're going to work this out.
Yeah, try to find a Portland, Kevy, I am not going to miss Portland. And like, I was talking to a lot of people and they're like, yeah, no, like there's no way. And I'm like, no, but I need to see Kevy this year. I if you guys met him in I know you're fans, but if you met him, you would be as adamant about this as I am.
You'd be as disappointed as I am.
I'm not going to miss this. And like, you know, Montreal was just like, it was just surreal, but like,
I think that's the way it's going to have to land. There's going to be times where, like, you know, because of our fucking, you know, continental differences and shit like that, you know, Marcel's a baller. He'd just be like, oh, I'm going to go where I want. But there's going to be times where it's like, I can't make it across the country and then up into another country to the other side of the world, basically. And then, like, you know, I don't expect Maddie to make it to fucking Portland, because that's a fucking hell of a trip. But we're gonna have to make sure that our fans and our fucking friends get to fucking hang out with each and every one of us.
Hey man, West Coast, all the heads at West Coast, just like,
actually
hit it up.
These motherfuckers that are fucking on the at least we've got that. At least Maddie or I will be at fucking either one of them.
Hey, you know what? Robot Large is up there. He could make it. You gotta get him down.
Dude,
there.
I've been bugging him about that. We're like, dude, you've gotta go. You've gotta go. He's just like, oh man, I'll see what I can do. I was like, you have to go to Portland.
Cause that's not that far, man.
No, it's not. Like, it's not for him. Like, well, it's not for fucking, you know.
And how far is it for Boosh? Like, that would be sweet to get him out.
I've been bugging Boosh about it since we first started talking about it, and Boosh can't make it, which sucks. But dude,
Robot should make it. I told so many people this weekend. I was like, listen, like if you're part of the SVU, like if you are a person that's listening to this cast, first of all, that's not on Twitter, make a Twitter account. Seriously, nope. Just do it. Like, don't think about it. Just do it.
Yes, I met quite a few people that were like, how do I get in touch with you guys? I'm like, if you're not on Twitter, then you're an idiot. Please, Twitter is literally the common room. This is where everyone meets daily, and this is how you keep in touch, man. It really is. So
exactly, I'm sorry, but if you guys have a fucking G Plus account, that's fucking cute. I don't think
it's cute.
If you guys have a fucking a Discus account and you comment and stuff, like, that's awesome. But like, unless you're on Twitter, like, and you're not, you know, on my shit every day where I'm just all, oh, this is what so and so said and this is what so and so said, like, I'm not gonna pay attention. Jesus Christ.
And the second thing I want to say is that, like, honestly, after Vegas, like, I played competitive Magic for a long time, and I don't really play like competitive Magic like the way that I used to, like going to tournaments and like, you know, trying to be good at standard. Like, I just draft with my friends all the time. But, like, I never in my Magic career, even when I was at my most competitive point, have wanted to travel as bad as I have to events after Vegas. Like if you're listening to this, you're a part of a family. And, like, you should, like, if you can make it to any of these events that these guys talk about, like, go do it. It's
because like you guys have been talking about all night. It's the camaraderie. It's fucking hanging out with these, like, meeting and hanging out with these motherfuckers that really fucking means something.
And I'll say this. I mean, Tyler the Fro doesn't drink, and he had a blast of a time. It's not just about the drinking. The conversations that occurred were some of the best ever. Like, there's some hilarious shit that gets told at these things that we'll never be able to tell on podcasts.
Oh yeah.
For many legal reasons, but it's worth it.
Now we got Martin and we can talk about these things. He's our lawyer. I appointed him our lawyer.
Martin is the lawyer from Fear and Loathing.
Dude, yeah. I'm telling you, that motherfucker is a badass drummer.
I saw him at Heavy MTL. Like, he played, like, one night we were fucked up, and he, like, mm-hmm. played me all these YouTube videos of him, like, on TV drumming and, like,
yeah,
off, no, like, stage, like thousands of people. And I'm like,
he popped up and talked to me about that shit, too. He was just like, he's all, hey, man, you're in a band, fucking, you know, metal band, cool. Check this out. He's like, I used to fucking play drums for a metal band. Now I'm a fucking lawyer, and, you know, life gets in the way, but check this out. And then the dude just starts popping fucking videos up, like legit fucking videos of his band doing their shit. Yeah. And it's fucking insane.
Yeah, it is really good. I mean, it's only going to get bigger. You know, in Vegas, there was, I don't know, fucking 12 of us. In Montreal, felt like there was 35. Like, it was crazy. Plus the people we met at the GP, it was bonkers. So, yeah, if you guys get it out, man, it's the Heavy Met of SVU, the family. We're growing it. It's sweet. Yeah.
If I had a nickel for every time that somebody was like, are you Kevin Metal? And I was like, no, I just smell like alcohol.
Yeah. There was a couple of people that asked, is that Kevin Metal? Oh, no, it was, oh, you missed it.
Can I just use Slick as my proxy? Like, he is.
He
does the East
Coast. I carried the flag, man. Yeah. I couldn't, like, I was talking to this about Scotty Mack. Like, I was like, listen, like, I go hard on a regular basis, but, like, I felt like when I was there, like, I had a reputation to uphold. Yeah. And I feel like I didn't let that down.
No, you set a brand new bar. Many people came up to me and they were like, was that Kevin Metal? I'm like, no, that was way better than Kevin Metal. That guy took shit way past what I thought was humanly possible. And Marshall came up to me and we were talking for a bit, and you just left because you and Motika were in that two-headed giant. And yeah, he asked me, he's like, oh, because I was like, Kevin Metal, you probably don't know. He's like, no, I think I know you guys. Yeah. And that's that metal guy, right? And I'm like, as you stumble and, like, knock into a table and you're like, Motika, play for me. You know, I'm like, no. And I didn't want to have the heart to tell him. I'm like, yeah, that's him. That's Kevin.
Yeah, that's him. That's him.
I can't believe Marshall saw clips. I didn't know that until right now. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Marshall is an awesome
Slick,
guy.
I literally, Slick, I will give you until fucking the day I die, I will give you all fucking rights to be your
proxy.
Be my proxy, like, cause dude, and this isn't like I've never met you before, man. I've spent some fucking time with you, and you're fucking great, dude, and you're so me, it's not even funny. So you have all rights to be like my East Coast proxy, and you can just show up as Kevin Metal as you will.
I think that might be the highest honor I've ever been bestowed in my life.
You might actually get more accomplished if you just show up as Slick Jagger. but
dude, that's
if the situation arises where when you compute everything in your fucking brain and you're just like, who should I be right now? Should I be Slick or should I be Kevy? Should I be Slick? Should I be Kevy? Whatever comes out of your mouth, I will absolutely sign off on until there's a baby.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, that was Slick. That was not me.
Yeah, those are not my leaving.
Anything else? Like, if I see fucked up incriminating photos on Twitter and you're just like doing lines off of some fucking gnarly midget stripper's ass and you're just, oh, I'm Kevin Metal! Then, you know what? I'll be like, oh, hey, I'll retweet him and say it was me. it's cool.
I have so many pictures from the weekend that I can't post anywhere, but you have to see.
I have to. You have to show them too.
I will say there's one picture of Jeremy Schofield licking my face.
Yeah.
I'm so upset that I wasn't there for this weekend.
You know, so boys, if there is one GP that I'm pretty sure that we can never miss. I don't know. I mean, I spoke to Helen a few times.
Look, please, yo, she, like, they're purposely avoiding the city because they're
I asked them why.
People will die.
Yeah.
I asked her why.
Wizards will have blood on their hands if they ever have.
I asked her why, and she's like, you know, there's just a lot of bad blood between, you know, everyone in the world in that city right now, and they don't want to go near it. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll start the petition. And I was like, Kevy, what are we putting on that again?
I think we'd started off with a go fuck yourself, and I'm gonna need my proxy to do the other half of it.
He fucks it up. What an idiot. He passed out drunk.
No. He fucked himself on mute. Jesus. I'm screaming into my phone, and then I'm like,
oh shit.
Why is there? Fuck yourself, San Diego!
Oh man. I will get that in post for you boys. No. Oh man!
Sure, if you just leave it just like that.
Yeah. Oh, I in the post shoutouts, because apparently someone came up to me in GP Montreal. They said that
have some fucking serious business to fucking attend.
They said that we have the best outros in the business, hands down. I could not argue with them. I was like, yeah, you're fucking right, we do. But there is something for all you guys that are entering the Booze Cube contest. So here's what we're doing, because we can't go through Twitter and track everything down, and one guy's going to get missed out and he's going to fucking kill us.
See, I feel like this is the problem with, like, the way we did the contest is we left it long because we wanted you guys to be able to do your shit and be able to fucking post it on Twitter and get feedback and get your shit right. But then that means that, like, we gotta try to find out everybody in the last like 3 fucking weeks that's posted something on Twitter in the comments and shit like that. We don't wanna fucking lose anybody like we did last time. So we're giving you guys another week.
Well, we're not just giving you a week. So what we want is, you know, I felt it's been very beneficial that you guys have tweeted your cards, corrected your cards, refined your cards. I think it's been really good. What we want you to do now is this week, you're listening to Heavy Metal right now, you go get your card, no matter how many times you tweeted it on Twitter, you go get your card right now, and you put that card in the comments of this episode. If it is not in this episode, when we go next Wednesday and it is not there, you are not entered. I'm sorry if you missed it, but please, if, you know, and tell your friends if they haven't listened to it, go put it in these comments. There's like 50 of them out there, and we want to make sure everyone's got them. Now,
we want to have every card represented, but because there's been so many different drafts and people, feedback and then fucking doing it again, like, your final submission for this fucking contest is going to go in the comments of this episode right now. What is this, 70?
Yes.
It's 70 because we fucking completely neglected the fact that the leaving episode was 69. Was 69.
Now,
in the comments of episode 70, your final submissions, and I know for a fucking fact you can post pictures in the fucking comments.
Yes. So now listen to this as a teaser to get you guys to be like, why would I go through all this hassle? We will be tweeting the absolutely mind fucking amazing prizes for this. We're gonna tease you guys during the week, but I'm gonna give you right now. I have.
Sure. There are prizes. Let's say this, Maddie. Let's at least let them know. Like,
I'm going to give them one. I'm going to tell them.
Well, we're going to give prizes out to at least the top fucking 10.
Yeah. Well, the 10 get all prizes. Yes.
Now, we've got a few different prizes in mind.
And we're not telling you those yet. You
don't get to know what they are yet.
We're going to hype you on those.
Yeah, of course. This is what we do. Maddie's a marketing genius. But we might, you know, we might throw a bone your way right now because you're one of those heavy metal listeners that's listening to the very end of the episode.
Yeah, and I mean, in all honesty, we, you know, it ties into GP Montreal. So I had gotten two, if you probably watch the tweets carefully, I paid for 2 super limited edition Storm Shadow heavy metal hoodies. That means they're all white and silver. They look absurd.
There are only two of these that have ever exist.
One of one of them I gave to Anthony, Mr. Awesome Sauce, because he fucking put a tattoo on his chest. Okay, so if you ever do if you ever do that, guess what? I'm gonna fucking ship you a hoodie.
You'll get a hoodie too.
Yeah, there's no that's the deal. We're
absolutely encouraging you to get a heavy metal tattoo.
Yes,
because we ship you fucking hoodies.
Yeah, the other one, I had everyone at GP Montreal that I could track down sign Marshall BDM Conley Woods. I've got all kinds of signatures on there. Everyone in the Heavy Metal SVU signed it. Slick Jagger wrote fuck off on it. It's amazing. So that's all on there. So if you're a real Heavy Metal fan, I'm sure you're going to freak out for this. And that gift or that prize is on there. I'm not going to tell you who's going to get it, but that is just a taste.
Let me tell you, as somebody who has seen it and scribbled on it, It is like, if I will be very disappointed if
You better work on your card.
Oh, I made it tonight, and now that I have another week, I'm so hyped. I'm gonna talk to Proxy Guy, try to get the art fixed and everything.
Kevin, hold on. Because let me clarify.
Well, here is let me give you this too. That hoodie doesn't involve my signature because, you know, of course I'm a pile of shit. it's because I had a kid and I couldn't be at GP Montreal. But whoever wins that hoodie, I swear to Christ, I will fucking ship it back to you if you want my autograph. Yes. Now, you'd be in your best interest to just not get my autograph and keep it. Because I'm more than likely I'm going to sell it on eBay.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing a lot of people have been asking to clarify. So, the number one thing that, again, with these submissions, we're judging you on, number one, the functionality, so the design and the development and the overall mechanics of your card, number one, above all. Number two, it's if this card is designed as you.
You.
Not me. Yeah, not me, not Booze Cube, it's you. This is the point. This is the community expansion set. Hold on. Number three, the top 10 winners. Proxy Guy is going to redesign your entire card. We may have artists do the art. I'm going to work on the art. We're going to remake your card so it's absolutely pro level amazing. Okay? Because these are going to be put in the first ever Heavy Metal Community expansion, kind of from the vault set, and we're going to do these occasionally. So this is going to be like the full trick. Of course, one of the top prizes is probably going to be a full set of these cards. Because they're
maybe we'll see what happens. That's a good idea.
Yeah,
Can I give people an example for rule number two? Not rules of the universe, but of this contest.
Of the contest.
This has nothing to do with eating ass.
I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed.
So I made my card last minute because I put the pro in procrastination. And if you're on Twitter, you can see it. I'm not going to say what it does or anything, but it has flying trample, haste, and booze touch. And Scott Gossett, the dude who runs Sign and Blood, who is the fucking man, was like, well, why don't you just like get rid of flying and trample and just give it only creatures that have cock blocking can block this creature. And I was like, that's fucking genius. Like, that makes it 100 times more like me.
Cause you're a giant cock. Exactly.
And it's less fucking templating. Like, that's fucking perfect. Like,
now, by the way, now we're giving you an extra week. So I want to just point out one thing. Robot Large and Steven Raffel got together and they created Robot Large's card, which is hands down absurd. I'm not going to say it's going to win. Who knows? There's actually some incredible cards. I'm just saying, guys, this is competition, okay? There's some serious people that want to take this down.
And see, this is what it comes down to, is everybody's going to put their final submissions. Everybody's been poking their shit out on Twitter and getting ideas from everybody else on templating, on fucking, overall fucking usage in the Booze Cube. And the Booze Cube's been very, very, very instrumental in all this.
Very helpful.
Every time I see somebody post a fucking Booze Cube card, like, he pops in and he's just like, that's awesome, but check this out. There's already a card that does that. Or, like, you know, he's very adamant because, you know, there's some of our listeners that haven't played the Booze Cube before. Yeah, you know, they don't know the
really
Booze Cube.
Refined it up.
And so he's really refining it, because what we want out of this set all together, like, we want you guys to fucking rock out and come out with awesome fucking cards and win. But then we also have this whole, like, we want this expansion to actually work with your Booze Cube. We don't want to be like, oh, that's fucking hilarious, put it in, and it's the most broken card in the cube, or it's the most underdrafted card in the cube because nobody gives a shit, because they're like, I don't want to drink water, or, you know, whatever the fucking the case may be. Like, we want you guys to refine your cards, which a lot of you have done, and then submit your final submission to this week's comments. Exactly. And this actually isn't a fucking, for once, this isn't a heavy meta ploy to just get you guys to comment.
No, we really need your help to do this, otherwise.
We actually need these all in the same place, because, it's kind of hard to track down everybody's, which one was the one that they actually wanted, and I favorited this one, and I retweeted it, but we need these all in the same place, and the best place to put them is in the comments, because then you guys can also go through and look through them.
Yeah,
and fucking, exactly. And you guys can look and see what everybody else has done. Maybe you missed it on Twitter when they fucking posted it. And you guys can see what's happening, what everybody else is submitting, and then you might have that last minute fucking genius idea that says, I'm going to push mine to the next fucking level.
Yep. So that's the thing. Next week we're giving it out, and it's going to be fucking amazingly
epic. There are prizes beyond your fucking, beyond heavy meta recognition, but beyond the shit that we normally do. We're like, we're not going to give you a couple moto credits.
No.
Like, we got you handled this time.
Yeah.
And so, get your shit in. Now, Maddie, I got to ask you, I'm going to ask you right here, fucking on the cast. Like, should we do the deadline by time we cast next week, you know, which is fucking specific night?
Yep.
Yeah. On Wednesday? Or should we throw an earlier deadline out there? Because there's another thing that we have to fucking incorporate in here.
Yeah, we have to judge them. So
we have to judge them, and so does the Booze Cube, who may not be on the fucking cast to announce the winners. So we have to have time to really go through and make this fucking decision.
Well, I'll
my thought is fucking Monday night at midnight.
We can do that. I mean, in all honesty, folks, here's the thing.
Is your midnight.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm coming for, now that I know that the deadline's extended, I'm coming for people's throats. I'm asking everybody for feedback, and I hope that just makes the other SVU members hungry.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
This should invoke the spirit of competition, because we are now just getting an extra week to make this fucking awesome. And if the SV, hold on, Kevy, if the SVU is going to put an imprint on the Booze Cube, it should be the most fucking badass imprint we can put. So in this extra week, I encourage everybody to step your fucking game up, because I know that I will. And I hope that the 10 cards that we imprint into the Booze Cube forever leave an imprint there.
Yeah, and just so you know, like, I've tweeted my card. I can enter, right? Mm-hmm. If I win, my prizes will go to the next person down, but I'm going to enter because I fucking want to win, too.
Yes.
So, like, we're all serious. Like, everyone is serious about this, because the gift of immortality in the first ever set alone is insane. So,
and I got to say this, like, I slick speech about fucking, you know, the community and being a part of this is that's gonna touch, I hope that's gonna touch fucking 95% of you, but for the other 5% of you, dude, hey, I'll give you another fucking hand. I got a fucking fetch land up, in
whoa,
the prize.
Whoa, so. You're blowing. Whoa, hey, hey, those prizes.
So you should, I just got to throw that out there. Like, right. You know, if one of you's like, oh, I don't know, I don't really like that view, but I want to fucking win some shit. Well, here, here's your chance.
They're not listening, Kevin. Yeah. Don't worry. They're not listening.
It's true. But hey, there's a, you know, so Maddie's got a fucking assigned hoodie up and I got a fetch land up and those, like, there's fucking 10 winners. Jesus Christ. That what's going to happen with these prizes? Like, yeah.
It's going to
be good. You guys aren't playing for fucking moto credits anymore.
So I bet right now I can make Slick Jagger spit his drink out and laugh like a fucking baby with one.
Pull your neck out.
With one word.
Tell me when to take a sip, and I'll have a mouthful.
Okay, take a sip. Take a sip right now.
All right, go for it.
Why would anyone do that? It's her birthday. Jesus Christ! For those of you
that actually worked. There's beer all over my.
Someone asked me, they're like, why do I go to these events? And I'm like, that's why. No one knows. No one knows what that means. But the people who were in the vicinity to hear that, and that those are the reasons why you come hang out with the heavy medic SUV people.
Yeah, that's right.
Why would you do that to her? It's her birthday. Oh, dude, it was just like leaving. Oh, man.
Okay, we're out of here now.
Sensations at the Monte Garbage, screaming Chiba. Fulfilling pleasures in my castle, blow the smoke out. The Goss of Vegas substitutes when the Dutch is gone. The load don't stop, give me shouts, it's the season. Sauteers, two flayers for swerving on corners. We madness to moolah, living with Charlie's Angels on us. No smiling when sliding, that gets you caught up in the octa or dead if we're moving. It's just like that as we proceed. Saturday night special, better take it light. You Jaja, you're a Capitan. Quest to the coast, the Key Largo, wire the chain gang. Keep your ears out. For a year, sip the fountain blue, house of bamboo, paradise. This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The cheeky vines and sugar dimes, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork, it's Nina Vega and get lit, what? This is it, what? This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The cheeky vines and sugar dimes, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork, it's Nina Vega and get lit, what? Fallen sparrows, courtesies of Black Caesar, the convincer, silky days, satin nights, taking flight, Dino gone, sweet sensation, Spanish flying with the lady star face, bottoms up, sunshine, love potion number
and we
9.
And from the magic city, transcending sweeter on your aura, Fancini in London, relaxation in Bora Bora, got notion to bring it, sing it, never been my function, stoning, robbing, we heisting merchandise and gunning, love it, leave it, but bless the war chief for his bison, get it, got it, the low will forever be nice and.
Yeah, the sunny fever, he be sippin' on my red, the Geechee gracious, he be sippin' on my red, we float the tri-state, draped in the satin vines, this coolie hijack pack from the sugar shack, then what we do after we sip the armor red, we start the Harlem River quiver, dig it sweet daddy, sharpen the crimson blade, high Sierra serenade, anatomy for seduction, be this ebony junction.
Yeah, as we exit the place with grace, drizzly armor rather than bursting of clouds, it pours, everything seems better on flats with love. We move only in the mist. It's slow, it's life, and we can't get enough of this. This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The Geechee vines and sugar dimes, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork and see the bigger and get lit, what? This is it, what? This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The Geechee vines and sugar dimes, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork and see the bigger and get lit, what? This is it, what? This is it,
boy. He be sipping on my red, the Geechee Vicious, he be sipping on my red, the Joe Chink, he be sipping on my red, the Chiquita, yeah, he be sipping on my red, we got
people, my people, I'm a redder. And then my man, Ill Wills, the former rector. And then my man, Kevin, the same sipping that. We slide through the tri-state with the hi-hat. And then I flow side to side in my coolie high. And then I do something with the Spanish fly, yeah. And then I flow down south with the boogie flats. And then I slide up in between the sticky boys' hearts. And all of that, yeah.